If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
One day, if you're a girl, you look in the mirror and there they'll be. Instead of a flat chest, two bumps. These are the beginnings of your breasts. And they're not there just to look pretty. They're useful, too.
I literally used to go to bed at night and pray that I would wake up in the morning with big breasts.
Well, that's because you have big jugs. I mean, your boobs are huge. I mean, I want to squeeze them. Mama!
I love fake boobs. Oftentimes you find them on strippers.
First, tell me what's going on with the boobs.
Boobs. Oh, my God. Boobs. Oh, my God. Boobs.
I want to squeeze them.
Hello, those are my breasts.
Nice melons.
I like boobs.
What?
I like boobs. Big boobs. Love them.
Yeah, they're pretty popular.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
We're so high right now.
We're not low.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The best tonic is chronic.
Roll another one.
Do you have any marijuana I might be able to buy from you?
Just like the other one.
Smoke weed every day.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I guess if we're going to feel anything, we should smoke a whole bunch of it really fast.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time
Let's
to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
Choo-choo.
Roll another one.
You got any weed?
Just like the other one.
Man, I'm so high.
This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
Park, park.
But don't bogart that joint. Just pass it around.
The best tonic is chronic.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend. But just pass it on down.
And now.
That's right, they're breasts.
Au naturel, baby. That's how I like them. Swing low, sweet chariots.
Our feature presentation.
Check, check, 1, 2, 1, 2, check, check, 1, 2. Check, 1, 2, we're check, good. Hello, hey, sounds great. Check, 1, 2, check, hello, 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 check, 1, 2.
Just
this is track
plug.
track number one, right channel, check, 1, 2. Hey, here we go.
Hey, lightning.
Check, 1, 2.
The
hey,
microphones
hey,
are working.
Hey. There we go.
Just go.
There
pull
we
the
go.
Plug,
all right.
Like
good sound.
Do.
Good sound.
Check.
Good check.
All right.
Hello. 1, 2. Check. Yeah. Check. Right. 1, 2.
Everything's
test. Track
everything's
three.
Working
track
so
three.
Far. Lightning.
Check.
Good.
Check. Check.
We're all checked.
Check. Check. One. Oh, turn that down. Whoa. Check. 1, 2. 1, 2. Check.
Down.
Over. That is over the limit. Over the limit. Here we go. Hello.
We
over
should
still.
Do this. We should do this
wow.
off the air.
Test.
Don't you think?
If I get down here,
seems
check
like
1, 2. Check 1, 2.
Yeah. Get this all done.
Here we go.
Before we
check. Check 1, 2. Check. Check 1, 2.
Almost done. Almost done.
Where'd he go? What
are we done now?
Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2.
Oh,
God.
That's overmodulating.
Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2.
We're going to
check 1, 2. Hello, 1, 2. That doesn't work. We're sh**. Hello. Check 1, 2. Check. Why is that so goddamn distorted? Check. Hello. 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 Hello.
We're good.
Hello.
We're good.
Hello. Check 1, 2. Hey. Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2. Hey. 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 Wow, much better. Hello,
yes.
1, 2,
much
check,
okay. Just leave it
check,
there.
Check,
good.
Check. Yeah,
right
yeah,
there.
Here we go,
right
here
there?
We go.
Good.
Yeah, sounds
okay.
good, sounds
right.
good.
Sounds good.
And
okay.
sounds
yeah.
good,
all
sounds
right.
good.
Sounds good.
Way overboard. Check,
no,
1, 2.
We're fine.
Sounds good.
Our mics are fine. I don't know where he's checking those mics, but these... All over the building.
These seem to be working pretty well.
He's all over the building.
Yeah. He's a guy who tries to help and ends up hurting. That's who he is. He always tries
he
to help.
He gives too much.
It's not just too much. It's wrong. It's just he tries to help. He has the best of intentions, and then he destroys things.
Yes.
That's
the way it works.
Accurate.
That's why he unplugged our broadcast on Tuesday.
He's just trying to help, man.
Giving too much.
Morning, everybody. It is an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It's a Friday, which means, you know, we got the movie beat, and we're going to talk hockey today. We got a bunch of stuff. We're going to take your phone calls to begin with, 1-800-520-1067. That is the phone number, and if you get on the air, you get a pair of tickets to the special screening of Together, the Hendrix Motorsports Story on October 7th at the Roosevelt Hotel. Have I said that once right this week?
No, sir.
In Hollywood, and a pair of tickets to the Pepsi 500 at the Auto Club Speedway on Sunday, October 11th. So let's take your calls
now. We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So what it do?
What it do, nephew?
All right, let's begin with George. Hey, George, what it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, George?
All right, I got something exactly Ralph's wife has, a COD disease.
OCD, yes?
Yeah, but mine is worse.
This is COD. It's now, cash on delivery with him.
For those that didn't hear, George, hang on 1 second. I want Ralph to describe his wife's OCD.
My wife has a preoccupation that when anything is unloaded into the refrigerator after you go shopping, all of the bottles especially, but mostly everything in there, has to be lined up perfectly, and then all the labels have to be turned out facing you when you open the door so that everything is visible at all times.
And you have the same thing, George?
Exactly, but here's my problem. If I go out and get a soda, or my fiance does,
mm-hmm.
if there's two spots missing, I gotta push everything forward and line it up all perfectly again.
Oh, do you have to fill it up as you go?
Exactly.
Fill those empty slots?
And when my friends come over, it makes it even worse. And it makes me look kind of bad.
Yeah.
Imagine if guys come in and grab a couple beers, you have to run to the pantry and then fill them
exactly,
up.
Exactly, exactly.
You have to do it exhausting. Like right away?
I try not to make it obvious, but yeah.
He starts to sweat, just sitting there looking at the beers. I gotta go! I gotta go to the bathroom, I'll be right back.
I open the refrigerator and it just looks, you know, horrible.
George, what do you do when you walk into, you know, a Ralph's or an Albertsons and they're all facing different directions? You just start straightening those out?
No, but when I go to, let's say, a Blockbuster, if I see a movie facing the other way around, I gotta turn it around.
You gotta turn around so it's the right way?
Yep. Yeah, wow. It's something I do at home. I don't know why. It's kind of annoying, but it's already stuck in me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're screwed.
You're screwed. I'm with Ralph.
Good luck to your fiance. I feel her pain.
All right, let's go to Jason. Hi, Jason.
What it do, nephew, baby boo, and cuz?
What it do?
What's going on?
You guys hear about the story out of Europe where the little girl was trying to sell her grandma on eBay?
I did.
I did not.
That little bitch.
Trying to sell her grandma on eBay.
Yeah. Who would buy her grandma?
A lot of people, apparently. $30,000 the bid was up to.
Yeah, really? There was like 27 bids on grandma.
Did she cook or something?
Before eBay pulled it.
Aren't those bids always fake?
Joke?
False?
Not always, because if you're a registered eBay member and you've got a PayPal account, you're a registered bidder. If you bid, that's a legal and binding contract you enter in once you confirm your bid.
But what are you going to do with grandma?
I don't know. Sex?
That's wow. Grandma.
Naked with grandma?
How old was the girl that was selling her?
I think she was under 10.
I read she was 10 years old.
Wow.
And she just had an ass full of grandma. Just grandma was telling her what to do and kind of bossing around the house, so she said she's going to sell her and get rid of her.
I saw ass full of grandma last night,
by the way.
You did. Very good at the truth.
I've had an ass full of beans, so since he's gone,
yeah.
Somebody should try to sell him off on eBay.
We've tried. No one will bid. Not even a joke bid.
Hey, one more thing.
Yeah.
Oh, he hung up. One more thing.
Maybe that was
that his one more thing?
I don't know if
comedy?
That was he trying to be funny? Awesome. I love that.
He doesn't get his prize then.
I think his comedy was more important to him.
All right.
I like that. Chad, hi.
Hey, Rocktober.
Wow!
Strawberry ice cream.
Strawberry ice cream. I saw them at the Troop last night. They were good.
They were good, too, yeah.
Hey, have a good weekend, guys.
Thank you, too, man. Chad. Thank you. Thanks for the shout-out for Rocktober. Yeah.
That's not as good as yesterday.
No.
What are you doing?
You're rocking it live yesterday.
Moses, hi.
Good morning. What's up, guys?
What's going on?
I want to talk about that new movie, Paranormal Activity, that was streaming at the Arc Light last night.
Uh-huh.
It's scary.
Nope.
It's It made my girlfriend cry.
Nope.com.
His girlfriend
which
cried,
one is this?
Ralph.
I can't remember which
this
one.
This is the supposedly super scary, low-budget film about a couple that shoots their home with their own video camera because there are demonic activities going on in the house.
Oh, I see.
It's like the Blair Witch Project.
It turns out that it's all fake, but I didn't know that going into the movie. So
right.
Really
you thought it was a documentary?
Yeah.
A lot of times, did you say, why are these people acting so badly in this documentary as you watched it?
The first thing I said is, why the hell are these people being stupid and living in this house still?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, at the very end, you figure out that it's fake.
I'm with you, Moses. I'm not that critical of movies because when I go to a movie, I want to believe.
Yep.
I want it to be acceptable and good, and I don't want to find flaws and stuff like that.
But everyone knows this isn't a real story. It's not a real documentary. Right. He thought it was a real documentary going in. That's beyond disbelief.
But his girlfriend was crying, and my question is that because the movie was bad or because she was the company that she was with?
No, thanks.
I saw it too, Moses, and I didn't care for it at all.
I liked the movie.
All right.
The being scared the way that I did going into the movie thinking that it was real.
All right.
But, she was crying because it was scary. She was genuinely freaked out. And I'm on my way to work, and I did not sleep a wink last night because of her.
Wow.
Nice. Nice.
You need a new girlfriend.
You do. You need to trade her in. Thank you for the call, Moses. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't know when that movie's coming out, but we'll talk more about it. I've seen it, and we'll talk more about it when it's released generally. But I'm angry at that film.
Let's go to Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys.
What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do?
Hey, did you guys hear about the David Letterman sex scandal?
Yeah, I'll be talking about it in the Showbiz Beat in just a couple minutes. We'll be covering that. I've got some audio from last night's show, and he pretty much talked about the fact that he was being blackmailed by a dude.
That does not happen very often. Thank you very much for the tip. We appreciate it, Mike, but we're going to cover it in the Showbiz in a second. Doesn't happen very often where a star that big comes out and says, here's what's going on.
I thought it was genius on his part.
Me too.
Very funny. He made a really creepy scandal actually very funny last night on his show.
He's one of the few people that could do that.
Yep.
Brian, hi.
What'd it do? So a couple nights ago, my wife and I are going to P.F. Chang's in the Valley for dinner. My wife is super hot. We look over at Megan Fox and her ex-fiancé, Brian, the guy from 90210.
Brian Essegreen, yeah.
So my name is Brian. They call reservations for Brian Party 2. We stand up and all four of us make this crazy eye contact. Megan Fox totally checks out my wife for like 30 seconds straight.
Yes.
5 minutes later, my wife goes to the bathroom. Megan Fox follows into the bathroom.
That's what I'm talking about.
She's like, what are you guys up to after this?
Nice!
Right?
So
you said we have no plans.
Long story short, we had to catch a flight.
Why? No, you didn't!
I know. It was the worst thing ever.
There are other flights?
I apologize. It was a total mistake.
There's no apologies.
Yeah.
What flight did you have to catch?
I had to catch a flight to San Francisco for work.
F work.
I know.
Catch another flight.
Two words, swine flu.
My wife is game, too, I'm telling you.
What? Oh, you fail on such a biblical level.
I know. Thank you.
Megan Fox hit on your wife, who is open to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you said no because you have to catch a flight for work.
I'm being totally serious. It happens so often to my wife. She's so gorgeous.
Not with Megan Fox, it doesn't.
I know, right?
Right. There are other jobs, Brian. There are other jobs.
You are bad on every level.
I know, fellas.
Wow.
I'm so angry you even called to tell us that story, because I'll never get over that.
Wow.
I will never get that taste out of my mouth.
In my opinion, she's so much more beautiful in real life than she is on TV.
Yeah, sure, yeah. That's why you changed your flight. Oh, wait.
Oh, Brian.
I know, guys.
What a colossal mistake. Every guy listening is going, what? How could that happen?
That story physically hurt me, Brian. Physically hurt me.
Thank you for the call. That's not the way you want to start. That opportunity doesn't come along very often. Maybe you should.
Ever.
That's a once in a lifer right there.
Yeah. All right, it's Friday morning. We're going to talk about zombies as Zombieland opens today.
Mm-hmm.
Find out about your real-life zombie escape plans. We have somebody who works here who has a zombie escape plan, and she's serious.
Yes, she is. Dead serious.
She's serious if there ever are such things as zombies ever happen.
Which she believes.
I don't think she believes that. I think it's a contingency plan in case it ever happens.
Well, we'll talk
about it. She's got it ready to go.
And we'll take your calls, too, just after the top of the hour on that particular topic. It's Friday, so we got the movie beat. Ralph will tell you about all the new movies in the theater. We've got our bad celebrity tweets feature.
Mm-hmm.
We've got more iPods to give away. And we have J.S. Jaguar.
Jiggy!
On the program today, talking about the Anaheim Ducks NHL season.
Kicked off last night, the new season.
And Ralph's video vault.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to want to miss one.
The giant octopus versus the mega shark
Mega shark leg. Versus giant octopus is simply the name of the title.
All right.
And it is one of the worst best movies I maybe have ever seen.
Awesome. Worst best is the ones that, those are the ones that we gravitate to.
Yeah,
for some
absolutely.
Reason.
Yes.
All right. We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It's the second of October. Not as big a... Not as big a celebration as yesterday, but we have decided to do that on Fridays. It's going to be a Friday thing starting next week. We got the drums, we got the guitar, we got the cowbell. We'll add instruments.
Got my keyboards.
See how DJ Spina Bifida feels about that. He will not be pleased.
He's not so much into fun, is he?
No, he isn't.
It's time for the Ralph Showbiz Bee. What's going on today, Ralph?
Well, lots of things are going on, but the thing everyone is talking about is the David Letterman show last night when David came forth and discussed with the audience a lengthy affair that has been going on behind the scenes where he has been blackmailed by a gentleman who came to him secretly, dropped a package in the back seat of his car that had some details and evidence, apparently, of some ongoings behind the scenes of the David Letterman show. And this guy told David Letterman if he'd give him $2 million, he was going to write a book and a screenplay about the scandals behind the scenes of the David Letterman show. He was being blackmailed. David discussed at length with his audience about how he went to the New York public attorney's office and discussed how to handle this, and what they did was they met with the guy, and he said he was serious, and they gave him a phony check, and then they arrested him yesterday.
Awesome.
Dave had to testify at a grand jury hearing in order to get a warrant for his arrest and disclose what was going on, and I'll tell you, for a creepy story that must have been incredibly difficult for him on many levels, he was very funny and very entertaining. I don't know how he did it. How
was
he
it someone
it
on the show?
Well, here's the story. Here's what actually happened. Here's what the guy had on him that David talked about with his audience last night.
Now, of course, we get to what was it? What was all the creepy stuff that he was going to put into the screenplay and the movie? And the creepy stuff was that I have had sex with women who work for me on this show. Now, my response to that is, yes, I have. I have had sex with women who work on this show.
I like the applause.
It was wild.
And would it be embarrassing if it were made public? Perhaps it would. Perhaps it would. Especially for the women.
It was remarkable how he pulled it off and pretty much diffused a situation that I'm sure will get a lot of attention in the weeks forthcoming.
The guy worked for 48 hours, the show.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, which is a CBS show, right?
The guy is named Robert Haldeman. He's a 51-year-old Emmy Award-winning producer from CBS News. He has worked on 48 Hours and other CBS News programs.
Wow.
But this was a guy from Dave's own network who threatened him with a movie screenplay and a book based on what he knew.
Was this before Dave's wife and kid?
I can't see how it possibly could have been, or else why would it be blackmail worthy? Yeah. Dave has been seeing his now wife for 23 years.
Yeah, well,
they've got a 6-year-old son together. And I'm sure that's the reason this guy was threatening the Letterman. And good for Dave, regardless of what you think of his behavior, for not buckling under and giving this guy the $2 million, because, you know, with blackmailers, it doesn't stop there. It would have been another $2 million a year from now and another $2 million a year from that. And he did the right thing. He went to the cops, they set up a sting operation, and they ended up arresting this scumbag. And I'm sure it was difficult for David Letterman, obviously, to go public with it, but by doing so, he pretty much pulled the rug out from under this blackmailer. However, I don't think Dave will be addressing this fact anymore after last night.
been a very bizarre experience. I feel like I need to protect these people. I need to certainly protect my family. I need to protect myself, hope to protect my job, and the friends, everybody that has been very supportive through this. And I don't plan to say much more about this on this particular topic. So thank you for letting me bend your ears.
Wow.
Yeah.
You don't hear him that serious ever, except for right after 9/11 when he came back. Remember that? September
11?
Yeah.
Yes.
But
he came back.
Occasionally he'll get serious. I remember when he was talking about his heart procedure. He did a whole evening where he was very... Very grateful to the medical staff that saved his life. And there's been rare occasions, but the guy seems like, regardless of whatever behaviors went on behind the scenes, and we don't know the situation between him and his wife and how they're going to mend those fences, but for him to go in front of an audience and be able to bare his soul like that and make it an entertaining story,
it's
pretty remarkable stuff last night. So
you don't see that very often. Celebrities usually do everything they can to keep it out of the news.
Cover it up.
Just to come out and say, I did it, and I'm embarrassed by it. Yeah. People are willing to forgive, I think, if they hear that.
A lot of guys would have paid the $2 million, I bet.
Yeah.
In the hopes that it would just go away. But he wasn't about to be bullied, and that was sort of the point of the story last night. He said, look, it's one thing to do this. It's one thing to be embarrassed by it. But to have some guy say, I'm going to make trouble for you unless you pay me money, he said that just wasn't acceptable to him.
Wow.
So, big story in the news. Another big story in the news is the fact that Kanye West and Lady Gaga... They had planned to tour together this year. That entire tour has been canceled.
What?
Live Nation issued a brief statement yesterday, but didn't say why the Fame Kills tour had been scrapped. Refunds are available from wherever you bought the tickets. Tour was supposed to kick off in November and run through the early part of next year. However, it will not be going on. Kanye West told Lady Gaga, I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce give a much better tour than you do. Apparently, his statement.
That's quite a statement.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank
That's
you so
a strange
much.
Mixture, don't you think? Lady Gaga doing dance music and then Kanye doing rapping?
She apparently loves rap, loves rappers, and plans to work, since this tour has fallen apart, plans to work with Dr. Dre, perhaps, in some recorded stuff.
Fantastic.
Tour, so we'll see what happens. More extortion news. John Travolta was testifying in court this week. About two folks involved in the government. What island was he on? Bahamas?
Yeah,
Bahamas.
I think so, yeah.
They were extorting him for $25 million in hush money, saying that they were going to imply that the death of Travolta's son, Jet, his 16-year-old son who passed away on that island, was intentional, and that Travolta did things that could possibly have cost his son his life. They said, unless you give us $25 million in hush money, we're going to release a document that shows you gave consent to have your son taken to an airport rather than a hospital. And they were going to sell that to the press if the money wasn't delivered. Travolta also went to authorities, and the court proceedings started this week and Wednesday. He testified to the fact that...
So they're saying he didn't take care of him medically like he should have.
Right.
Okay.
And that he was implicated in the death of his own son. And
these
were two government officials, by the way, who were blackmailing Travolta. So he also went to the authorities, and hopefully these people will get what they deserve as well. So.
How do you ever get to the point where you're willing to do that to somebody who has just lost their son?
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, that's unconscionable.
Human beings, the depth of which they will sink never ceases to amaze me. Today's celebrity birthdays... Musician Sting is 58 years old today.
Lorraine, looks better than any of us.
He sure does. At 58, looks remarkable. Lorraine Bracco from The Sopranos, played Dr. Melfi on that show for many years, is 55 years old today. Tiffany, remember her from the mall tours back in the day? She's 38 years old. Kelly Ripa celebrates her 39th birthday today. Efren Ramirez from Napoleon Dynamite. Vote for Pedro. He is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited today because Zombieland comes out.
So good.
Love zombie movies. Love them. And this one looks like it's really funny. And tell us who we had in earlier this week, Ralph.
We had the executive producers and screenwriters of Zombieland, two guys named Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who I had worked with before on The Joe Schmo Show. Both seasons one and two, they were the creators, producers of that show as well. And they're super funny, super talented guys, and it's just great to see them now branching off into movies because I know they're good, and they write good stuff, and that certainly is lacking in a lot of movies, but this is a great one.
We've done this once before, and we're going to take calls for from those of you that have an escape route. You have an escape plan for when the zombies come. It was shocking to us how many calls we got last time we did this, of people with real escape plans. But here's them talking about Zombieland, then we'll come back with your calls.
I am lucky enough to have seen this film. I saw it last week at one of the screenings, and it is maybe the best time I've had at the movies this year.
Ooh. Come on, though. Hangover? Seriously. Hangover.
Hangover was funny.
Yes.
But this is funny plus scary plus...
Plus zombies.
Yeah. That does, and a lot of gunplay. And, you know, Hangover was missing the gunplay for me. So yeah. I get it all here.
All right.
I am a little biased, of course, because both Paul and Rhett, besides being excellent writers, were the creators of a show called The Joe Schmo Show a few years ago that appeared on Spike TV.
I watched that, but the host was a tool.
How dare you?
I was not happy with that.
And the guys were kind enough to cast me as the host of that show, and we had a lot of success with that. And then the Joe Schmo 2 we did after that, we had a lot of fun. And this is your first foray into motion pictures, guys? This is your first movie, right?
Yeah, well, together it is. Yeah, I used to write children's stuff.
That's right. You wrote for Pixar, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But together, this is our we were virgins until now.
How do you decide on zombies? You just both always love the idea of that?
Well, you know, everybody's always bemoaning the post-apocalypse, talking about how horrible it's going to be, and we just had this alternate vision of it actually being kind of a good time, if that makes sense.
For those who are left.
Yeah, for those who are left. I mean, think about it. You've got all the things that used to annoy you are no longer in existence.
Traffic,
you know,
crowd.
AT&T, you know, or
Facebook status update.
Sure.
Yeah, mafia wars on Facebook.
Sure.
No more.
None of that.
And plus, when you meet the girl, like, she can't use the boyfriend excuse anymore.
That's true.
He's not around.
I've never thought about all these positives.
It's the ultimate wish fulfillment movie.
Except
actually.
For when you go to the bathroom in a bathroom stall, and then they're crawling underneath. I don't want that.
Yeah,
that's one thing I don't want.
The premise is kind of great, where you get to go into any store you want to and just take whatever you want. You don't have to worry about paying for it. There's a scene in the film where they play Monopoly, but they use real cash because cash is kind of worthless now. It's sort of pointless. And it is Woody Harrelson, who is the kick-ass ultimate zombie hunter. He's got that down. And then Jesse Eisenberg plays sort of the young man he meets on the road, and they sort of team up together for various reasons to kind of go zombie hunting. And then they meet Emma Stone, who is just adorable in this movie.
Oh, she's fantastic.
If you saw The Rocker, she was the girl in the band in The Rocker with Rainn Wilson.
Right.
That real talented actor. And then Abigail Breslin, who you know from Little Miss Sunshine, mm-hmm. of course,
sure.
is also along for the ride. And it is just so much fun.
This seems like a genre that is really, it has potholes everywhere with people who try to make it kind of scary but kind of funny at the same time. And so many people fail miserably on one or the other side. They try to make it funny, it's not funny, or they try to make it scary, it's not scary. So it looks like you walk that line really well, like it's a laugh fest, but about zombies and scary situations.
Yeah, we tried to focus on the comedy first and make sure we got that. And then if we got some scares on the side, well, that was just gravy.
There is a celebrity cameo in the film.
Okay.
That I don't want to talk about because it's such a great moment in the film when you find out who it is and what happens in that part of the film that it would be a real disservice to people who are going to enjoy this film to talk about it.
Mm. Okay.
But I was wondering, I wanted to ask you guys, did you have that particular celebrity in mind when you wrote the film, when you came up with it?
We actually had a long list of celebrities that we went through before we reached our actual celebrity cameo.
Because the premise is that, I mean, America has been decimated by zombieism, right?
Right.
Mad cow disease, people have been eating mad cow meat, and it goes to their brain and they become mad people.
I like it.
And they become zombies.
Right.
So there's very few regular people left. And in the film, they run across, there's kind of a road picture where they're going across the country and they head to Los Angeles and they interact with a celebrity when they get to L.A.
Ah.
So I was wondering, you guys had someone else in mind initially?
Carrot Top?
It started with Patrick Swayze, actually, about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And we went through a long list trying to attract any number of actors, including The Rock and Joe Pesci and Mark Hamill and Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Sylvester Stallone.
They didn't want to do it?
Matthew McConaughey. Everyone said no. This is the story of our life.
You got turned down by Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Wow. He turned it down.
JCVD.
You might want to pack it in.
Really? I mean, that's got to hurt. So that was a little bit earlier this week when we talked to the guys who made Zombieland. And now we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to start with an employee here at the radio station named Aisa.
I think the movie is going to be big this weekend, and it's going to bring up a lot of fears people have about how to get away from the zombies when they start finally attacking.
Hey, Aisa.
Good morning.
Aisa is one of my favorite people in the world. She is one
She's
of the
great.
Best people in the world.
Thank you.
And it's
partially because she is full bore crazy. It's one of the reasons I like her. Now tell us about your obsession with zombies.
Okay, well, first of all, I'm not afraid of them. I'm like Ralph. Like, as soon as I saw this movie, I saw the movie this week, and it's amazing. I had a blast. So as soon as I saw it, I'm like, yeah, that's for sure going to happen.
Really?
You're convinced the zombies are coming? For real?
No, for sure. It's going to happen. Absolutely. Guaranteed.
Okay.
Wow.
You're guaranteeing it. All right.
And it's perfect at K-Rock. K-Rock is zombie-proof.
This is where you're going if there are zombies.
This building is where she's going to... That's her escape route. She's
Where everyone has to go. That's exactly where you need to go.
Well, you don't want to tell everyone because there won't be room to, you know...
Well, you have to have, you know, that little pass that gets you into the gate.
Is that because
just employees.
The fence on the outside, they can't climb, that kind
of thing? Exactly.
Yeah.
There's two fences. There's the outside fence in the big parking lot and then the one internal one.
But see, here's what's going to happen. You're going to show up here at the radio station and then you're going to be inside. And then I'm going to get here a little bit late and there's going to be zombies out there. And I'm going to be going, open the gate, open the gate, open the gate. You're going to go, nope, zombies will come in. Can't do it. Sorry.
The problem is Kevin won't have his key card with
him.
Right. He will have lost it, and he won't be able to get into the building, so he'll need someone to let him in, and then we can't when
you
the
won't.
Zombies are outside.
No, I'm going to make you show me your boobs to get in.
All right, there you go.
All right, done.
You know, I've been working with Kevin all week, Isa, and I think he may already be a zombie from what I've been witnessing this week.
It has not been a banner week, if
I'm
that's
just
what you're saying.
He may already been turned.
First of all, I don't know if you guys are kidding. We never leave K-Rock, so we'll still be there.
Yeah, well, there's
that's
that.
True.
Yeah.
You are here all
point.
The time.
That's true. All okay, right, so, Aisa. Well, you're the best. So it's just that's your whole plan is just to come
no,
to this building.
Oh. I mean, the whole plan, K-Rock doesn't have any windows.
Right.
All the windows are up too high or they're covered in, like, wire.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got that.
Scott Mason has food, like, packed away, locked in the kitchen somewhere. Plus, all the Kevin's nuts that are in your guys' office.
There is that.
Yeah.
We're fine.
Those
we're
are,
good.
Those
trust
are plenteous.
Me.
All right.
We got tons of porn, too, in the morning show office. We're covered
I was
there.
I bring that up, but yeah, that's there. Yeah, it's so in the promo office.
Keep us entertained.
You have a box of porn.
We got plenty of coffee.
We're across from the Department of Water and Power. We can go over there and steal whatever we need.
Good.
It's true.
We have the K-Rock promo vehicle.
See, this is what I like about Aisa is that
really
she really has
through.
Thought it through. She's really worked through this whole thing.
Yeah,
the
station promo trucks are like armored vans.
Exactly. And I know somebody who works on hot rods. He can build all sorts of stuff all over the vehicle. Spikes, like gun turrets, all sorts of stuff.
I like it.
And there's a inside the radio station, there's roof access. So if Kevin would buy me that Hello Kitty machine gun for Christmas that I want.
Yeah. Right.
We can kill zombies from the top.
Listen, if it's for that good a cause, I certainly will. I'd like to see you up there mowing down zombies.
You'll be our Woody Harrelson, Aisa.
Exactly.
All right, you crazy.
I love you guys.
See
love
you
too.
When the zombies come.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right, we got a bunch of people on hold that have an escape route. And by the way,
of course we do.
Yeah, you can't all come to our radio station.
Right.
So we want to know what are you going to do when the zombies attack?
Because we're going to be here.
Right. And I think, and we'll ask them, but I think most of these people are very serious about this. Like, really think it might be a problem. And have worked out what they're going to do in that case.
Well, then I need an escape plan from these people.
Yeah, that's true. So 1-800-520-1067, and we'll talk to you next on The Kevin and Bean Show. That dude sure does reggae music.
Oh,
tell you that.
He loves some pot.
That happens.
He smokes.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 27 minutes after 6 o'clock. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, and we're talking about zombie escape plans as the movie Zombieland comes out today. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. I love movies like this.
You will think about it as you're watching the movie. You're like, what would I do? How would I get out of it?
What would I do in that case?
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's go to Christian because he has an idea that I believe our own Dave the King of Mexico supports as well. Hi, Christian.
Hi, Kevin, Ralph.
Yes, sir.
What do you do? How do you get away from the zombies when they attack, dude?
First thing I would do, I would go to a gun store.
Right.
You know, get a whole bunch of guns, ammunition.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think we inferred that, but go ahead.
Right. And then I would go to Costco. And lock myself in for a couple of months, you know.
That's good.
To be able to survive on all the stuff they have there.
They have food, they have televisions.
They have everything. Right.
They have
that's
everything.
Exactly what Dave was saying
they
yesterday.
Do tons of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
right.
Big pallets of it. Pallets, yeah. That's a good
idea.
Yeah,
yeah.
What
yeah,
if they don't let you in because you don't have a Costco card?
I would have guns. I'd be able to shoot my way in.
I see. Okay.
And, you know, even if the zombies got inside, you could crawl up. You could climb up the giant racks of shelving they have there. You could get to the top, and you could take the high ground.
Wait, zombies
can't climb? They got roll-up doors. So I said, you know, it's pretty much made for people not to be able to get inside.
How do you know the zombies can't climb?
They can climb, but you're at a position of power when you're up top. You can shoot them off the shelving as they start to come up after you.
I got you.
You got to get the high ground.
What kind of zombies do you have? Like the ones that could run or the ones that, you know, walk really slow?
Yeah.
They all seem pretty slow.
Zombieland, right? No, they tear ass
really?
In Zombieland.
Do they
really?
First rule of zombie killing in Zombieland is cardio.
Really?
Yeah. You've got to make sure you're in shape because they are fast mofos.
All right. Wow. Let's go to Mike. Hi, Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Hi, Mike.
You're on the air. You have a an escape plan for when the zombies come?
Yeah. Mike, can you hear us?
Sometimes what they if they're listening to the radio, but...
Hello?
Hey, Mike. Can you hear us? Right. Michael.
The zombies are here! All right, thank
Michael,
you.
Michael Motorcycle.
Said he takes it seriously, by the way. That guy, the last guy that wouldn't talk to us.
Because the zombies got to him. Yeah. That's why he couldn't talk to us.
Takes it seriously. All right, let's go to Nyla. Hi, Nyla.
Hey.
Zombie escape plan?
Oh, yeah. Home Depot.
Home Depot.
Home Depot doesn't have food, though, does
it?
No, it
does
not.
Home Depot rather than Costco. Wait.
The best part, though, they have that caged plant area. Yeah. There's, like, tomatoes and stuff.
The nursery, there. Right?
Yeah, so... Self-sufficiency is the plan to surviving zombie doom.
Right.
I'm terrified of them. That is why I've thought of this.
You're terrified of zombies.
Yes, I'm absolutely terrified of them. And I can't even watch a movie now.
But do you honestly believe that it's going to happen one day?
It might.
Yeah. So you're going to live off the plants at Home Depot?
Well, I mean, that means I don't have to go out and die, because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, you're going to be eating chrysanthemums.
Why not go to Costco, where they have food?
Because the food is going to run out someday.
Yeah, but you don't want to be eating ficus trees.
Well, tomatoes and zucchinis and stuff like that.
Oh, your plan blows.
You have a bad, bad plan for zombies.
I would say so.
I'm a biology major. So.
Here's what's going to happen. You're going to sit there and you're going to go to Home Depot and then you're going to eat a couple of plants and then you're going to go, this blows, I'm going to Costco, and then right. We're not going to let you in. Just so you know.
So you're going to be eating office carpet samples at Home Depot.
What are those?
There are no windows and there's boards to board up doors.
Right. So you got plenty of tools.
There's chainsaws.
Well, there's that. That's true.
Having heard the Home Depot idea and the Costco idea, I think the best idea would be one of those super Walmarts, which is
kind of a combo of both,
and they sell firearms.
That's true.
They have a ton of ammunition, firearms, groceries, and hardware.
Got a ton of windows, though.
Yeah.
They do. A lot of windows. A lot of access.
Floor to ceiling.
Yeah, a lot of access for zombies.
Let's go to Susan. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
We're talking about escape plans for when the zombies come.
Yes, everybody you've talked to so far is pretty weak.
Pretty weak.
First
all right.
of all, you cannot let anybody know your zombie escape plan, because then you're going to have people coming to you wanting to go with you.
Right.
And in my opinion, how are we going to escape? You need to bunker down.
Bunker down
where you are.
So stay wherever you are.
Wherever you are, you need to stockpile supplies. You need to have machetes, because remember, you never have to reload a machete.
That's true. That's
right.
A good point.
And I'll let you come, Lisa May. I'll let you know where I'm at.
You need to have
some lumber. You need to be so you can board up your windows and stuff.
Right.
I like Susan. Really, she sounds like a can-do gal.
Susan, you've thought about this a lot, haven't you?
Oh, me and my son, totally. We have.
You have a son.
I have a couple of them.
Look,
when we rented a house that had a wrought iron fence around the front yard.
Because of zombies?
Because of zombies.
You are the best person I've ever talked to.
And if things get really bad, you can always throw your kids to the zombies to buy some time.
No, it's good.
Little appetizer.
And everything, we'll have to use the zombie bait.
Exactly.
I have to let a few people in. So we can use them for zombie bait.
Wow, your kids don't have a chance. All right, you're the best. Thank you, Susan.
Bye-bye.
I've got to get close to a zombie to use a machete, though. I don't know if I'm that comfortable
with that. You want to get that close?
Yeah.
You need like a 10-foot zombie, a 10-foot machete.
They all come at once. There's too many. They overwhelm you.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dominic. Hi, Dominic.
Hey, what's going on? What to do?
What to do?
You got a plan for the zombies?
Oh, of course, yeah. I sleep with a samurai sword next to my bed, so if the zombies come when I'm asleep, I can chop my way to my car. Mm-hmm. And then once I'm in my car, I plan on driving in reverse so I don't wreck my engine while I'm running over zombies on my way to the mountains.
Wow. I'm gonna just,
that's quite a plan.
I'm just going to say I'm going to throw society away and start over.
Now, we do want to get out of populated areas, that's for sure, yes.
Exactly.
Now, when you, when you began this conversation, you didn't say, I plan on sleeping with a samurai sword. You said,
No. It's next to the bed at all times.
You have it now?
Oh, yeah.
For zombies.
Yeah, for zombies.
Well, you know, kill the brain, kill the zombie.
Wow.
That's right.
Chop the head off. Good man.
All right.
That's right. And Lisa, you're welcome to come with me.
How come she gets to go everywhere?
Thank you. Well, I have two places I can go now.
They have to continue
I'll take great care of you.
I bet you will.
The rest of you are screwed.
Listen, that's always been the case. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Scott. He's got an idea. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
When the zombies attack, what do?
The zombies are not smart, man.
Right.
I don't think I've ever seen one swim or hold their breath underwater. Okay. We go and we gaffle a boat, and we get all the people on there and make love a boat. And hang out in the ocean for, like, you know, until it blows over.
I see.
You know, you're right. I don't think zombies are seaworthy. I think you're right.
I've never seen a zombie try and swim. How do we know? How do you know they're not expert swimmers?
Exactly. Let the sharks get them.
Well, they're not very coordinated. Even when they're running, they're sort of.
You think they're going to be bitten on like scuba gear coming to get us?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that.
They look like the King of Mexico in roller skates, usually, even when they're running. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Thank you for the call. I hope everybody got some good ideas. We have a full bank of calls of
all kinds of ideas. Wear a shark suit, get an armored car. Get makeup and try to blend in. Disguise yourself as a zombie.
Yes, he says, get makeup and make yourself look like a zombie so you're one of the...
I'm one of you, yes. Oh, I have one flesh too. Oh, yes, okay. No problem. Oh, look at that tasty regular person over there.
You people all scare me. Twitter is something that has taken over the world, and it's not all good. Not all of it is good. Not every Twitter is worthy.
What do you think the percentage of generous. Good is?
Yeah. I don't know. I've started following a few more people, and I like, you know, Kevin Smith, people like that. But
there's some really smart, really funny people who are good.
But for the most part, they're not. And celebrities are even worse. Celebrities should not be Twittering.
They think everything they have to say is important.
That's correct, yes. So that's why we have this feature, which is celebrity tweets.
It's time for Bad Celebrity Tweets. Yeah, that's right. Bad Celebrity Tweets. Let's see what kind of bullshit they're tweeting about.
As far as we can tell.
Louder, I can't hear you.
What?
As far as... as far as we can tell, these are the real people. This is Diddy, and you know how Diddy is. He bad.
P. Diddy Puff Daddy Combs.
Let's go, let's go, let's go!
Well, we got that.
Where are we going?
Star, 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 energy, star, 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 take that, take that.
Booyah.
Little boost, little energy boost right across the tweet.
But my favorite of Diddy is turkey sandwich time!
Woo! F Twitter. I'm
just saying turkey sandwich time. We need to know that.
Yes, turkey sandwich time. Was that a song?
Yeah, sure it was. We have Jessica Simpson. Lisa, you're going to read some of hers.
My heart is broken because a coyote took my precious Daisy right in front of our eyes. Horror! We are searching, hoping. Please help.
Yeah.
I just woke up from a dream where I was told that if I ate a meatball sub, I'd have to pee all day. Why would I dream that? Still holding out hope despite the assholes that they say it is a dumb thing to do. Daisy is my baby. Why would I stop searching? I am a mom. That Danny Glover sure can act.
Yeah, she can.
She's precious.
All right.
You just saw Lethal Weapon for the first time, apparently.
Our producer Alex is in here. She has Kim Kardashian and Heidi.
Oh, it's good. Kim Kardashian. I read that if you don't take care of your teeth, then you live 6 years less than expected. OMG. Do you guys floss your teeth? I found the best floss. Reach Ultra Clean. I'm obsessed.
What?
Okay, Kim, really? Heidi, it's praise Jesus time. Just finished co-hosting The View. It was the best experience ever. Ours. I wish I could do this every day. Praise Jesus. 800 exclamation points.
Yeah.
I need an ice blended. I was awake with my puppy all night. Sad face.
Come on.
God, I hate these people.
Okay.
So dumb.
And Ralph, you have maybe the worst tweeter.
Yeah, I think he is absolutely the worst offender when it comes to inane tweets. It's our envoy, Bean.
Oh, no.
Busted.
What a surprise.
So, what's Johnny Mathis been up to lately? Johnny Mathis was a singer who had hits in the 40s and 50s.
The 1940s.
Yeah. You know, in Samoa, they're having earthquakes and tsunamis, bad cases, right?
Right.
Taking nothing away from our American Samoan friends, the premiere of Hills did not record on my DVR last night, so I have troubles too.
Asperger's.
Wow.
And I hate to bring this up, but apparently Megan Fox tweeted Beam.
Oh, no.
No.
The real one?
Yeah.
It's
the real
not
Megan
the real
Fox.
One. I don't think it's the real one.
I think it is.
King of Mexico is telling me in my headphones that it's not.
It's not?
I hope
for our case it's right.
All right.
But she tweeted, oh my God, I freaking love your picture. Is that your dog? Apparently, what a surprise. He put one of the pictures of his dogs up.
Oh, I hope that's not her.
Here's Bean's response. I'm not even bragging that Megan Fox tweeted me. Just playing it cool. Yeah, you are.
Name dropper.
You're the coolest.
When you're not bragging about it, you don't say it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So there are your celebrity tweets.
Bad Celebrity Tweets.
Yeah, that's right.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q at 6:55. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here with a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
From time to time, I like to give people a heads up if you'd like to be on television, and this is another one of those cases. This is a casting call. They're having nationwide auditions in Dallas, Texas, Charlotte, North Carolina, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Orlando, Florida, Las Vegas, Nevada, here in Los Angeles, Atlanta, Georgia, and New York. New York. The town's so nice, they had to name it twice. So no matter where you are in these great United States, you are probably close to someplace where they're holding auditions.
For what?
For Tool Academy 3.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
How do you audition for that?
I don't know if you watch the Tool Academy over there on VH1, but it's for narcissistic, egocentric, self-satisfied men and women this season who are the worst partners ever.
They're obsessed with themselves. They talk about themselves. They're horrible to be with.
Cheaters. They treat their partners poorly. They're just crap on every level. But you know, deep down inside, they can be someone worth dating.
But isn't the whole thing a giant ruse? Like they get the guys there telling them it's another show and then they spring it on them?
Yes.
Well, how do you try out for that then?
Well, I don't know, Kevin. I don't work for the VH1 peeps.
Just saying.
But I think what they do is they interview the partners.
Oh,
if not the couples. And then set something up post facto.
So maybe the girl shows up and they interview her about her dude.
Turns a guy in.
Yeah, I see.
They started auditioning October 1st, which was yesterday, through October the 23rd. So if you're interested, go to toolacademycasting.com. That's toolacademycasting.com, and they will give you all the information how you go about getting your tool enrolled in the Tool Academy for season 3.
That is not a show you want to be featured on.
I don't think so either.
I don't think.
Big news yesterday, late last night on the David Letterman show, when Dave came forward and announced to his audience that through the past couple months he's been going through an ordeal regarding someone who was trying to extort money from him. A man was trying to blackmail Dave for $2 million, said he was going to break the news that Dave had been a bad, bad boy via a book and even a screenplay if Dave didn't pay up. Well, Dave decided not to buckle to blackmail and went to the cops instead, and yesterday they arrested the dude. Turns out he's a 51-year-old Emmy Award-winning producer from CBS News.
Wow. That's
Dave's
shocking.
Own network. You don't think a professional news guy would stoop to these depths, but he has. Dave talked about what the dirt was that this guy had on him that he thought Dave would pay $2 million to keep quiet.
Now, of course, we get to what was it? What was all the creepy stuff that he was going to put into the screenplay and the movie? And the creepy stuff was that I have had sex with women who work for me on this show. Now, my response to that is, yes, I have. I have had sex with women who work on this show. And would it be embarrassing if it were made public? Perhaps it would. Perhaps it would. Especially for the women.
Yeah. Dave pretty much deflated the whole blackmail plan by going public with this information. And they have arrested this guy, and he's been to a grand jury. So we'll wait and see what happens. But
he also had sex with Biff.
Biff Anderson. Biff Anderson. Oh, yeah. Many, many times.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The guy's been dating his now wife, Regina Lasko, for 23 years. So we're assuming some of this sex happened during that relationship. So that may be the most difficult part for Dave now to deal with.
Yeah.
That she is the mom of his 6-year-old son, Harry, as well. So we'll have to wait and see. What I'll be interested to see is whether the women in question, the female staffers with which Dave has had sex, show an equal amount of integrity and keep it quiet to themselves, or whether they start now going public to the extras and the insiders and the ETs
trying to make some dough
of the world, trying to sell their interview. Yeah, I had sex with David Letterman when I worked on the David Letterman show. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. You know who's not keeping quiet about their affair? Is Kate and John Gosselin.
What? Hey. They're not keeping quiet?
There's another woman who's coming forward saying that she had a sexual fling with him. A Vegas showgirl has told In Touch magazine that she had a sexual relationship with John and another woman.
Oh, good for you. And how was it?
And describes John as sex-crazed.
Was this before or after the split?
Sex-crazed.
This is after the split. This is during one of his Vegas trips. He's been doing Vegas a lot lately, hosting parties and that kind of stuff. So,
aren't all guys pretty much sex-crazed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially when you live with that frigid air that he was with for as long as he was. Speaking of which, a big story, of course, yesterday, John Gosselin, I don't know if you saw him putting the sign up on the gates of his home, but he has kicked the Learning Channel, TLC, the network, out of his house. That's the network that produces the John and Kate Plus Hate program.
Right.
Saying that he will not allow them into the family home for any reason. And he is pulling the plug on the show. Coincidentally, the network announced this week that they are giving the show to Kate. It's just going to be the Kate Plus 8 show, and John is being removed from the show. Now, all of a sudden, John has decided he doesn't want his kids subjected to reality television any longer.
What?
Yeah. He says the reason for the ban on his house is that suddenly he thinks that the reality show is bad for his children. They're being harmed by the constant attention.
Which he was a part of.
Coincidence? Mm-hmm. I think not.
Wow.
He has filed a cease and desist order asking them to stop producing the show now that he will no longer be involved in it. So we'll have to wait and see what happens in the courts over that.
Wow.
He is a major douchebag.
They both are.
Yeah, they're both evil. Today's celebrity birthdays, Efren Ramirez, who was, of course, Pedro in Napoleon Dynamite. He's 36 years old today. Tiffany, 80s pop star, is 38. Kelly Ripa, host of my Life with Regis. No. Live with Regis and Kelly, 39 years old today. Bud Gaw of Sublime, drummer for that band, also from the Long Beach Dub All-Stars, is 42. Lorraine Bracco, who played Dr. Melfi for many seasons on The Sopranos, is 55 years old today. Sting, famously from The Police, and his own solo career is 58. And singer Don McLean is 64 years old today. You may not remember Don McLean's smash hit American Pie, but
as I do every year,
I like to honor Don by singing the entire 8-minute version of American Pie.
No.
So if you'll indulge me.
Nope.
A long, long time ago.
What?
Oh, what?
That
happened. American Pie is a classic.
If you'd like an iPod, you can earn it next, 1-800-520.
You can download American Pie to your iPod.
1067.
Bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry.
All right.
Hey!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 11 minutes after 7 o'clock. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. We have some Apple products to give away now. We have two Apple iPod Nanos.
Nano.
These are the new ones that record video.
Nice.
And you can also listen to FM and you can pause it.
That is the best.
Do it all.
And we have one iPod Shuffle and a $5 iTunes gift card. We're going to do a special edition of Lick Lisa.
Can you lick Lisa? I think you'll find it's hard. But if you do lick Lisa, something hot's waiting for you.
Lick, lick Lisa, 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 but keep clear of her vagina.
There you go, those are the rules.
Those are the rules.
We have, they're not laws, though.
They're rules.
They're not enforceable laws. It's
rules,
like,
laws, whatever.
I think we signed contracts.
Not like anybody's going to be here to arrest her. We have our intern, Laura, who's the rapper.
Mm-hmm.
She is.
She's going to be doing the licking because apparently she's had plenty of practice.
She's our designated licker.
If you know what I'm talking about.
Usually it's on some sort of webcam happening in her girlfriend's bedroom, but right. For now it'll be in the studio.
Is that why we're actually videotaping it? Because Laura comes alive?
No,
because
King of Mexico, it doesn't happen now unless it happens in front of his camera, apparently.
That's right. True.
Yeah.
All right, let's begin.
Should we explain how the game is played in case someone is new?
With explaining the game and how it's played in case someone's new.
I'll be asking Lisa a question. The answer will be numerical. It will be a number. Lisa will then have to guess what that number is.
She goes first, not you.
Right. Then all you have to do is say whether Lisa is, the actual answer rather, is over what Lisa said, under what Lisa said, or is Lisa dead spot on.
All right.
Okay.
And if you win, you get put into the drawing for the iPods. All right. Steve, hi.
Hi, this is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Good morning, guys.
Listen up. I'm going to ask Lisa her question, okay?
Okay.
Apple is the ripe young daughter of actress Gwyneth Paltrow and Coldplay's Chris Martin. How many varieties of apples are grown commercially in the United States, Lisa?
Oh, interesting.
How many varieties
question.
Of apples are grown commercially in the United States?
I'm going to say 90.
90. Steve, is the actual answer higher, lower, or is she run on?
I'll say lower.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Steve. It's higher. 100 varieties of apples
are
grown.
That's a good guess.
Sorry, you did not lick Lisa.
Can she lick her anyway? Or?
No, I'm sorry.
That is not in the rules.
Not according to the rules.
Earn the lick.
Fernando, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Fernando.
You ready for the apple edition of Lick Lisa?
Let's do it.
All right, Lisa. The Fuji apple is the fifth most popular in the U.S. The Fugees had a number one album with The Score, and the Fu Manchu mustache was popular among kung fu masters. In honor of the great Patrick Swayze, what year was his drag queen spectacular To Wong Fu Thanks for Everything Julie Newmar released?
That was the most ridiculous question I've ever heard.
That was an interesting labyrinthine path.
When was that movie released?
What year was To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar released, starring the late, great Patrick Swayze?
1987.
Fernando, is the actual answer higher, lower, or is she spot on?
Oh, it's higher. It's 90.
1995 was the release date. You're absolutely right, Fernando. Congratulations. You licked Lisa.
Darn.
Nicely done.
Let's I'm getting licked.
Lick her.
What do you mean,
Laura,
where? Don't ask.
Your choice.
You're
you get to
licker.
Pick. Oh, my goodness.
It's funny because she comes in slow and then boom, she hits it hard.
That's what she said.
Tongue like Shamu. I haven't seen a tongue like that come out.
Christian, good morning.
Big old tongue.
Good morning.
Hi, Christian.
You ready for your question?
Lisa, the popular yet dangerous I Love You and Worm computer viruses caused many systems to crash. Worldwide, how many people have died of the trendy swine flu since its first reported outbreak in April of this year?
I'm going to say 85.
85.
How many people died from the swine flu, since April of this year?
Christian?
85.
Oh, it's higher.
Higher, lower than 6.
Yeah, actually, it's
way higher.
4,385.
Cool.
Well, that was not in the news.
Christian is requesting a specific lick.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear Christian.
He was asking her to go for the boob.
Yeah. Congratulations, Christian. You lick Lisa. Can Lisa be licked, please? Intern Laura, lick her.
Yes.
Lick her.
Come
on. There must be licking. Proceed with the licking.
Okay. You can lick wherever you
Commence
want.
Commence with the
How about
licking.
Some sucking? How about
right.
some sucking?
Oh, take it easy, dude. Right. Take it easy, Christian.
Wow, a down
easy.
Boy.
I'm going to put you on hold so you can cool off.
You need to take a shower. Susie, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Hi, Susie.
Here's Lisa's question. Listen up. The Cider House Rules starred the lovely Charlize Theron Garman.
Mm-hmm.
How many apples does it take to make 1 gallon of apple cider? How many apples does it take to make a gallon of apple cider, Lisa?
A gallon.
A gallon.
A month.
Need a guess.
Need a number of apples.
I'm just thinking like a...
Need a, number
of apples to make 1 gallon
numerical?
Of apple
How many
cider?
Cups are in a gallon?
Just how many apples make a gallon
give
of cider?
25.
25 apples. Susie, is that the actual answer, higher, lower, or is she spot on?
Lower.
No, I'm sorry, Susie. 36 apples make a gallon of cider, so it was a little higher.
Although I think the pause was worth it. I think that was good.
You did not
delay
Lisa, sadly.
A half an hour.
I was doing the math because I know, like a lemon, if you squeeze a lemon, you get about a half a cup of lemon juice.
Oh, please stop
talking. Will you ever stop talking?
I'm trying to answer.
Hey, Michael.
Hello?
Michael, you're our last contestant. Listen up, okay?
Okay.
Lisa, warm apple pie is a beloved dessert and was the featured co-star in the classic teen flick American Pie.
Yes, indeed.
What was the film's total U.S. box office gross? How much money did American Pie make in these United States?
Wow. I don't know how good it did here. I'm going to say $45
million. $45
million. $45
million. Michael, is the actual answer higher or lower, or is she spot on?
Higher.
You're right. $101.8 million.
That would be
much
way
more,
higher.
Much more. Michael, you licked Lisa. Congratulations. Let's get to some licking.
More licking.
Laura, lick away. Lick.
Oh, here. Let me just I'll take those off
the headphones for a little ear lickage.
Oh, nice.
All right. Well,
now
we're getting somewhere. Well, we had three winners.
We did.
So everybody
wins.
That
was easy.
Not much of a drawing needs to be done.
Not at all.
Thank you to everybody for playing. Laura, you're a bad licker so far.
I think she did great.
We need to try this again.
She needs some motivation.
We need to try it for real.
Lick, lick Lisa. Lick, lick Lisa. But keep clear of her vaginas.
Hey!
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 27 minutes after 7 o'clock.
We are trapped in the studio.
Our door has been locked. I don't know what's happening, but we are now unable to get out. So we'll
Kevin and Bean Show will be on the air for until further notice.
For the rest of our lives.
That's right.
Ralph is here, and it's time for the movie beat, as it is Friday.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
About a half a dozen new movies in Cineplexes this weekend. You may want to check some of them out. I've got a few recommendations. I know it's usually against my code, but I've seen a couple of the movies. That
See,
are
you need
out
to stop
weekend.
That.
I know.
Ralph reviews movies without seeing them.
That is my modus operandi.
Anyone can see a movie
that
and review it.
That has always been my take. Anyone can go see a movie and then tell you about it. I am able to divine just from the premises and the promotion, what movie is good and what movie is bad.
Then why are you seeing movies?
It was an accident. Oh. I walked into a couple theaters today and they actually accidentally were showing.
So right.
Couldn't help myself. A few documentaries kick off the movie beat today. One of them stars LeBron James, NBA star. We talked to LeBron about this very same film. More Than a Game, it's called. You have to go back in time and follow a young LeBron James and four of his teammates through the trials and tribulations of high school basketball in Ohio. And then LeBron's journey to fame in the NBA. If you're an NBA fan, this is the documentary for you this weekend. Also opening in wide release this weekend is Michael Moore's documentary, Capitalism, A Love Story, in which Michael sets to uncover the truth behind the current economic crisis with interviews from Wall Street and other government insiders. So you can check that out. I have seen bits and pieces of this, and it seems like this may be his most nonpartisan documentary to date. He doesn't really take a political stand on this so much as he's just sort of anti-weasel.
Wow.
All these jackholes and Wall Street who kind of screwed us over during this whole
economic
crisis.
There's a lot of weasels, so.
There sure are.
Plenty of room for that.
There's a re-release this weekend you may want to check out, especially if you have kids. Toy Story and Toy Story 2 are being shown in a double feature, but the key to the re-release is they're being re-released in 3D.
Ah.
Oh, wow.
So Disney has gone back and given the 3D treatment to both Toy Story and Toy Story 2. So you can hang out with Woody and Buzz and the rest of the gang from the Pixar Toy Story movies, this time in 3D. You can check that out.
I rented Hanging Out with Woody last night. It's not the same thing.
Not what you expected.
Nope.
A Serious Man is one of the new movies we're talking about this weekend. It is from the Coen brothers. Endlessly entertaining Coen brothers, who even their failures, I find interesting to watch.
They always have a unique twist.
This is a black comedy about a guy who watches his life unravel when his wife prepares to leave him because his a-hole brother won't move out of their house. Richard Kind plays the brother, and unknown actor Michael Stuhlbarg is the lead in this film from the Coen brothers. So if you're a fan of their work, you may want to check it out this weekend. Here is Michael Stuhlbarg, the actor who's the lead in this movie. He plays a character named Larry. He's trying to get in to see his rabbi to discuss the troubles he's having at home.
Please, I need help. I've already talked to the other rabbis. Please, I've had
quite a bit of tourists lately. Marital problems, professional, you name it. This is not a frivolous request. Tried to be a serious man, you know? Tried to do right, be a member of the community, raise the... Danny, Sarah, they both go to school, Hebrew school, a good breakfast. Well, Danny goes to Hebrew school. Sarah doesn't have time. She mostly washes her hair.
This guy, that apparently, this is going to be a breakout role for Michael Stuhlbarg. Everyone's talking about his performance and the Coen brothers. I just think they do great stuff.
What's the name of that?
It's called A Serious Man. You may want to check it out this weekend if you have the time. Also, another smaller movie that's getting a lot of buzz is Whip It. If Bean was here, he would ask, Whip It Good?
Yeah, he would, but he's not.
To which I would respond, Whip It Real Good.
Don't feel the need to do that.
It stars Ellen Page and Drew Barrymore. Kristen Wiig also stars in the film. It was directed by Drew Barrymore, which gives it a little bit extra interest. With the movie going public, here's the plot. Ellen Page plays a misfit who's into indie rock, doesn't quite fit in her hometown, and so she acts out when she discovers there's a roller derby league in a nearby town, and she decides to join up to express herself in a unique way.
She's great.
She joins the roller derby. Here is a scene from the film where Ellen Page's character learns about an audition for the female all-female roller derby.
I just want to tell you all that you're my new heroes.
It's your first time here?
Yeah.
Well, put some skates on. Be your own hero.
The last time I wore skates, they had Barbies on them.
You know, none of us knew our ass from an elbow pad when we started.
You should come to tryouts on Tuesday. You have to be 21. You're 21, right?
I'm 22. Yeah, I just had my birthday, so.
I'm Maggie Mayhem.
I'm Bliss, but I could change that.
Yeah, you'll have to change that.
Yeah. You have to change the name Bliss to fit into the roller derby.
Maggie Mayhem. That looks good to me.
Next week, by the way, we're going to have a little special footage from the Kevin and Bean Show of our own Psycho Mike and Dave the King of Mexico. Who else joined you in there?
Beer Mug.
Our stuntman Beer Mug. We sent them off to actually compete with some actual roller derby girls.
It's our radio station roller derby team.
That's right. They took on the L.A. Dolls, right?
L.A. Derby Dolls,
yeah. And apparently it did not go well for our side. I'm not going to give anything away, but that's all you need to know. Also opening this weekend is The Invention of Lying, brought to you by the comic genius of Ricky Gervais. You may not know the name, but he was the man who created the original Office in the UK and also gave us the TV series Extras on HBO,
which I
loved. He is a certifiable genius. He wrote and directed The Invention of Lying, as well as starring in it alongside Jennifer Garner. I got a chance to see this movie. I loved it.
Really?
It is smart. It is funny. It is unique. It's a very fresh take on sort of what could have been a standard odd couple romantic comedy. Gervais plays in an alternate universe a man who invents the lie. He lives in a world where everyone tells the truth all the time. No one has even considered the possibility of not saying anything that wasn't the truth. So if you ask someone, ask your neighbor in the elevator on the way down from your apartment building, how you doing? Oh, not so good. I wanted to kill myself last night. You get a long dissertation of how people really feel.
Wow.
And it dawns on Ricky Gervais' character at one point in the film, for a series of reasons that I won't get into now, why to tell a lie. And it changes his life. As you can imagine, you could rule the world if you were the only liar.
Absolutely.
Here is Ricky Gervais dealing with the pain of constant honesty as he picks up some messages from his secretary, played by Tina Fey, and he realizes he is on the outs where he works.
Morning, Shelley.
Hi, Mark. I realize more and more every day how overqualified I am for this position and how incompetent you are at yours.
Any messages?
Anthony is coming up within the hour to see if he can get up the courage to fire you. If he can't, he said that he'll definitely do it tomorrow.
Any messages not to do with being fired?
Well, I told everyone you're getting fired this week and they shouldn't expect their calls returned, so no one left any messages.
Okay. Next time?
I don't think there'll be a next time.
Take the message, just in case I don't get fired.
You're almost definitely getting fired.
That's the pain of honesty from everyone.
I love that.
It's a great film, I'll tell you. I really enjoy it. Jennifer Garner is just adorable in this film, and it is loaded with people who you can tell just wanted to work with Ricky Gervais. So there's tons of cameos by Jason Bateman and Edward Norton, and people show up, and Philip Seymour Hoffman shows
really?
Up.
Yeah,
it's just an amazing cast.
really interesting, fresh, new take on the standard romantic comedy. I really loved it, so you want to check it out this weekend. But the movie of the weekend, for me, by far, is a movie called Zombieland.
That's what I'm
talking about. Woody Harrelson, Emma Stone, Jesse Eisenberg. It is what happens when the world is overrun by zombies and a group of four people have to travel cross-country and try to survive the onslaught of zombies that attack them at every turn. It is funny. It is scary. It is heartfelt. It is one of the best times I've had at the movies in a long, long time. If you're going to go see this movie, I suggest you see it this weekend because there is a chunk of the film that features a celebrity cameo, a guest star performance that really hasn't been publicized too highly, but everyone will be talking about it after this weekend.
George W. Bush?
I can't say anymore.
All right.
I don't know how you guessed. Here is a scene where Woody Harrelson's character, who's known only by his hometown, everyone has code names in this. They don't want to get too close to each other. They don't want to give away too much information. So Woody is known as Tallahassee.
All right.
That's where he's from in Florida. He just goes off on some zombies in this scene. There's plenty of great zombie kills, I promise you. Here's a couple of them.
Time to nut up or shut up.
When Tallahassee goes Hulk on a zombie, he sets the standard. No fear, nothing to lose. What can I say? It's like art.
You got a dirty mouth!
Just plenty of fascinating zombie kills. They kill them in every possible way you can imagine.
Love it.
Such a great film. Really, I enjoyed it. I recommend it highly this weekend. Zombieland. Check it out in a theater near you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
You can go to krock.com and see some of the performances from this past Tuesday, which was Super Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Paramore had a new album coming out, Alice in Chains and AFI, and we did live shows with them. And the videos are up at krock.com. We're being told that they need to be taken down very soon. So if you want to see them, perhaps you should go sooner than later.
Okay.
Because some of them are being taken down. That was the original plan. We keep them up for 72 hours or whatever. But go to krock.com and you can see some of those performances.
Good to know.
It's 7:44. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Amy Winehouse is a rapper.
What?
Amy Winehouse. The train wreck just keeps chugging along. She is joining vocalist Zalan in the jam session and she raps.
Wow.
She's a rapper. Now, this, of course, Amy Winehouse, the singer that had the drug problem. She did the rehab song,
She's a great singer.
Her husband.
When she can sing.
Blake Fielder Civil was in prison for bodily harm with intent. I don't know what. She was a mess. Remember, she was in the Bahamas, and they had to keep cutting her off because she was drinking too much.
She was crawling under tables, grabbing people's drinks.
She is rapping now. And as if that's not good enough news, we have some audio of it. This is actually her.
Okay.
Trying to rap.
I never knew that I'm a Jew. Well, Jew bacon. Anyway, if you can smoke bacon, then I reckon that I never knew Zalan was so good at drums. It kind of makes me feel more dumb, as in love, right?
Yeah, that's bad.
Not good at all.
She's
really.
No Jay-Z, I'll say that.
Yeah.
And we actually have her on the phone. We thought we'd check in with her.
Okay.
Amy, how you doing?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hi, we're looking for Amy, please.
Yeah.
Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, this is Amy Winehouse. That was great what you played there. That was effing awesome.
I'm sorry, you sound like a dude. I thought you would sound a little
all
more
right,
like...
All right, let's move it along. We're running out of time for the bit.
Okay.
All right.
So you think that was awesome.
That was amazing. I am so talented.
Did you write that down ahead of time?
No, man. It was just freestyling.
Really? Couldn't tell.
Freestyling, yo.
Couldn't
right
tell.
Off the top of me head. Just keeping it OG and for reals. Yo, you dig?
I think maybe you should stick to singing.
No.
No? Okay.
I think maybe no.
Okay.
I think rapping is my true calling. And if I want to entertain my fans... I have to give him what happens in my heart
okay.
and my head.
And that's
they need the real Amy, yo.
Okay, and that's rapping?
DJ Omi Winehouse. And so rapping is my new career.
Awesome. Are you going to put out an album?
Yeah. You know. That's the way I roll.
I can't wait.
Because I'm smoking bacon. And you better not be breaking my heart.
Right.
Yo.
Yeah. Not everything that comes out in rhymes even is good, just so you know.
Oh, well, what you hear, my latest fat track from my Rezapping album,
Where can we find that?
I'm working on it now. I'm in the studio now.
Awesome.
With Donald Faison or whatever that guy's name is from that video.
Zalan,
yeah. That's who I'm working with, Zalan.
Okay.
I got my backup band, Melfon, also on the album.
World renowned, good.
And DJ Omar Khan is also with me.
What?
Working the, dropping the fat beats,
all
yo.
All right.
That's unexpected.
Would you mind doing a little improv?
Really, it's unexpected that a drug addict would be hanging out with DJ Omar Khan.
That's a good point.
And now you put it that way.
I guess you don't know him very well then,
do you? You have to get your drugs from somewhere.
That's right. All right. That's where I get them.
So you can you do a live song for us?
Of course I can.
Please.
I got mad skills, yo.
Amy Winehouse rapping.
All right, here we go. My skills are deep as the barrier reef, because I'm British and got bad teeth. You mock my head, you make fun of my clothes, say it got an eight ball the size of my nose. I own Steve Gangster, who do you harm, even with a needle hanging out of me arm. So if you're looking for trouble, you might get your wish. You'll know I'm coming by the smell of bad fish. Hey! Ho! Hey! Ho! That's right. Stand clear.
Wow, that was pretty good.
Oh, well, drop a cap in your cap place.
I don't think you drop caps.
No. I'll pick them up then.
You might want
whatever you do with them, that's what I'm going to do.
You might want to work on the lingo.
Yo.
Do you have other songs that you're working on, or is this is that the sole one so far?
What time is it? Nope. I have no
more
songs.
We have time for one more.
No, we don't.
But we have time for one more.
Oh, no, we don't.
Oh, that's...
Woo-woo!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
We have, before I get to the showbiz beat, a little giveaway to take care of. I've got passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of the new Universal Pictures Couples Retreat. It stars Jason Bateman and Jon Favreau and Vince Vaughn. It looks hilarious. If you'd like to see it before it enters into theaters on October the 9th, you get to see it ahead of time if you call right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. First five callers to get through get tickets to the advanced screening of Couples Retreat.
It's world famous K-Rock at 7:57. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Everybody, pretty much all they're talking about is this David Letterman scandal. He mentioned on his show last night, much to his credit, by the way, how he handled it, that he was being blackmailed by a guy who said if Dave didn't give him $2 million, he was going to release some dirt that he was holding on Dave regarding Dave and female members of his staff. People, of course, were curious what that information would have been. Dave told him last night during his show.
Now, of course, we get to what was it? What was all the creepy stuff that he was going to put into the screenplay and the movie? And the creepy stuff was that I have had sex with women who work for me on this show. Now, my response to that is, yes, I have. I have had sex with women who work on this show. And would it be embarrassing if it were made public? Perhaps it would. Perhaps it would. Especially for the women.
The blackmailer was Robert Halderman, a 51-year-old Emmy Award-winning producer from CBS News who worked on 48 Hours, the news magazine program on CBS.
Wow.
So surprising.
Guy with his own company. Told Dave, give me $2 million or I will write a book and a screenplay about this story. Well, Dave didn't buckle into the blackmail. He contacted the authorities in New York State and went in front of a grand jury. They got a warrant for his arrest. They set up a sting operation where Dave wrote him a phony check for the $2 million, and then the cops picked him up. He was arrested yesterday. So I'm sure we will hear more about this as the court case goes along, but Dave said he's pretty much done talking about it, so... I was impressed by how he handled it last night, that's for sure.
Well, you sure didn't hear any whispering of it? You didn't see it coming?
I mean, no.
Usually there's a lot of rumors and all that.
Well, apparently it was just Dave and his lawyer who knew about this extortion plot. They took it to the DA's office in New York State, and they were handling it from their end. So they really did want to keep it hush-hush until they could get this guy under arrest.
How about that?
That's when the news broke, and I guess Letterman knew once the arrest happened, the story would break, and better for him to break it in front of his
admittedly pro-Dave crowd, you know, at his show. Sure. They were applauding his infidelity during that clip, which was a little strange.
I think they were applauding his honesty.
I'm not sure they knew if he was being serious or not, or if this was a joke.
I don't know if you've heard the whole segment. That's a small clip of about a 10-minute story he told about this. And by the time we got there, everyone knew it was serious.
Okay.
Because there were some moments where there were gasps and murmurs and stuff, and people sort of stunned about what he was revealing to them, I think, during the show. So, yeah, we'll be following the story, of course, as it proceeds. Kanye West and Lady Gaga were supposed to tour starting November. The Fame Kills tour has been canceled. Live Nation issued a brief statement yesterday, but didn't say why the show was off the rails.
That's why.
Refunds are available from wherever you bought your tickets. You can get your money back. Now, it's been speculated that Kanye West has a drinking problem.
Well, he did say that in response to his MTV thing.
Yeah. He blames it on the fact that his mom's passing has made him drink more and more, and perhaps his behavior's a little out of control, so maybe it's related. But really, they've given us no reason why the show was canceled, so we'll have to wait.
This is a mess.
And I'll tell you something, more and more, as the details about Patrick Swayze are released in the wake of his death, you realize what a good guy this was. In his memoir, The Time of My Life, which is currently in bookstores, he mentions that he got his diagnosis for pancreatic cancer, but refused to tell his mother the news because she had to undergo eye surgery, and she was under strict orders from the doctors not to cry for weeks after the operation.
Wow.
So he did not tell his mother that he had pancreatic cancer for fear that her tears would actually adversely affect her eye surgery.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
Yeah. How she found out? A reporter from the National Enquirer showed up on her doorstep asking her what she felt about Patrick's pancreatic cancer.
Damn.
Oh, man, is that not the way it should have gone
that
down?
That is not the way it should have happened at all. Sad news. And Megan Fox may seem like the perfect woman. After that story I heard from a listener this morning where she was suggesting a get-together with him and his wife, she may be the perfect woman. However, she told a British tabloid that she, unfortunately, is very sloppy. That's one of her faults.
Uh-oh.
She says she leaves her clothes wherever she takes them off, pretty much.
That's all right with me.
She flat out refuses to clean her apartment.
Okay. She can hire someone.
Let's see if this one works for you. She said she often neglects to flush the toilet after she's done.
Just out of laziness?
She forgets.
But it's just flower petals.
That's true.
You know, it's just rose petals. That's all that it is.
Oh, you guys.
I don't know. I don't know if that's a deal breaker with me and Megan Fox.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Psycho Mike's like, I'll clean her up. Today, celebrity birthdays. Sting. What a career this guy's had.
Yeah. No kidding.
58 years old. Lorraine Bracco from The Sopranos is 55. Bud Gaw of Sublime and the Long Beach Dub All-Stars is 42. Tiffany, the 80s pop singer, is 38. Efren Ramirez from Napoleon Dynamite is 36 years old today. Kelly Ripa from Live with Regis and Kelly is 39. And Don McLean, whose one big claim to fame, I suppose, is the smash hit American Pie, which Madonna remade not too long ago. It is one of the classic American pop rock songs. It runs about 9 minutes. But as I do every year in tribute to this great singer-songwriter, I will be singing it in its entirety. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the 64th birthday tribute from Don McLean, American Pie.
Yeah, I'd rather die.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me cry. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance. And maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take you.
Thank God The Hills is back, so Spencer Pratt gets some more time on TV.
You got it, Buster.
That's good news, right?
Spence Diggity Dog, back at ya.
What's happening, man?
How are you?
Very good.
That's good to hear, man.
Heidi Montag has given an interview saying that she wants breast implants.
Yes.
She already has breast implants.
Bigger. What? She wants bigger.
First off, Linda, look at me.
Lisa.
Look at me when I'm talking to you.
Lisa.
Whatever. She is all natural. Praise Jesus.
No, she's not.
Yes?
Nuh-uh. That's not her nose and those aren't her boobs.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, the implants she got. That's what I'm talking about.
Besides the 3.5 ribs we've had removed from her chest plate, she is 100% natural.
That is
the
not
way Jesus Christo, God in heaven, has made her.
So she says, I'm a C cup, but I want to upgrade to a double D cup.
Double D?
We're still discussing. We're still discussing.
What do you mean you're still discussing?
Well, maybe double D isn't just going to cut it enough.
Not big enough?
Yeah. I mean, she's a bigger girl.
You don't.
She's not a bigger girl. What does she weigh? 100 pounds.
She's tiny.
Yeah, exactly. And whenever you get over triple digits, it's a little bit dicey.
Wow,
you're talking
man.
About.
Oh my God.
You're really pushing it when you're getting into the triple digits.
You're not incredibly supportive, are you, with her physical looks?
I'm supportive of her getting better looking.
Okay.
And staying younger.
Well, I think what we can do is we could take some phone calls from people because you do seem to be an expert in body image.
I am a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt.
That's not true.
I train every day.
You don't?
And I take impeccable care of myself. And through my studies of both karate.
You don't do that.
And nutrition.
You don't study that.
And as a registered esthetician.
You're not an esthetician.
And as a Navy SEAL.
You're not a Navy SEAL.
And as a mermaid.
What?
You are a mermaid.
I've come to realize what it takes to be the perfection of human beauty.
Okay.
And I'm here to help your listeners obtain perfection.
God, help our listeners.
In beauty. Whether it be skincare, whether it be hair care, plastic surgery, mm-hmm. fitness and nutrition. I'm here to be your oasis in the desert of futility and ugliness.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
So listen, Kendall.
Kevin.
It's just like Freud said. Love is a battlefield.
I don't think Freud said that.
Do your research.
All right.
Do your research.
1-800-520-1067. We're looking for you if you're considering any type of an upgrade, whether it be skin, whether it be your lip injections, whether it be, boob implants.
Okay, so plastic surgery or changing your hair color.
Nose job.
Maybe it's as simple as using the wrong type of moisturizer. Women.
You know about that, too.
I, like I said, Lisa May, I've been a registered esthetician.
Use my name.
He did.
Damn it, I screwed that up.
Yes, you did.
I've been a registered esthetician.
Nope.
For 4 years.
Not the case.
That's just not true.
It's true. And when I got out of the Foreign Legion.
Mm-hmm.
You were never in the Foreign Legion.
I was. After I got off doing my third stint on Broadway.
You weren't in Broadway.
I was in Cats.
You weren't.
And then
you
I became a registered esthetician.
You're not that either.
As I prepared
All right.
to be
1-800-520-1067.
Mark Ruffalo's agent.
If you have questions about a possible upgrade in any way,
okay.
Give us a call. And Spencer.
That's right.
We'll help you out.
Oh,
Spencer
dear.
Pratt, that ass.
We will we'll take a quick break and come. Spencer Pratt, back. The Hills, back.
Spence Diggity Dog.
In the studio with us, talking about Heidi's boob implant. She wants to go from a C to a double D. Spencer's not sure that's big enough.
It's appropriate. Like I said, we're still discussing whether or not to
Spencer.
Explore the E's.
She's a tiny person. She won't be able to stand up if she goes that big.
She's adequate.
What percentage?
But she's not tiny.
What percentage of this decision is being made by her, and what percentage is being made by you?
Well, let me do the math here. Carry the one. 100% me.
That's what I figured. Yeah, that's what I figured.
Okay.
All right, let's take some calls for Spencer, the body image. What are we calling this?
The beauty dispenser.
The beauty dispenser. Thank you.
What's going on with you and Heidi?
I should be asking you. I don't know. I don't talk to her.
I don't even hear anything you say. It's just me.
Spencer, the beauty dispenser. Spencer, the beauty dispenser.
Yeah.
Spencer, the beauty dispenser.
Yeah.
Spencer, the beauty dispenser.
I just don't even know.
Yeah, I'm not sure Spencer's the guy you want to turn to, but let's give it a try.
I'm pretty sure I am.
Elia, hi.
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 Ask Spencer your question, and then he will tell you his opinion, which, by the way, he speaks for no one but himself. He does not speak for us or the radio station or the company that owns us.
Okay. What happens to Restylane once it's injected? Where does it go since it only lasts 1 year?
Well, it probably goes to Malibu.
What?
It's true.
What are you talking about?
Well, I've looked at I'm a registered real estate agent.
You're not?
And I know that there's been a high amount of migration in the warmer months towards Malibu. It is utopia.
Okay. All right. That's not the answer I think she was looking for, but okay.
Uh-huh. Enjoy yourself.
Let's go to Tricia. Hi, Tricia.
Hi, Tricia.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome to Spencer, the beauty dispenser.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What's your question?
I'm here to help.
Okay. I'm thinking of going to into a double D right now. I'm a D, but I don't have any kids. But I am 34, right. And do you think it's a good idea?
How old are you? I'm sorry.
34.
Stop it!
What is wrong with you?
Come on.
Do you have any Lysol?
That is not old.
Do you have any Lysol?
What's wrong with you?
Spray the phone with some type of disinfectant.
Are your D's natural or do you already have implants?
No, they're natural.
Oh.
They're natural.
I'd say keep them. Spencer, what do you say? I'd say no, but what do you say, Spencer?
I'm having a hard time.
All right.
Do you have a hard time looking in the mirror?
Spencer!
No, I actually don't.
Okay, it all gets worse from here.
Okay.
Oh, God. All right. Call, please. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Can you cleanse my palate with a 19-year-old?
Oh, man.
Anorexic, possibly.
I don't really have ages. Let's go to Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Andrew, help me out here.
Spencer, the beauty dispenser.
I'm trying to figure out what's the fastest way to get a six-pack.
Well, Andrew, how much money do you make?
A lot, about 50 grand.
Okay.
How does that play into this?
Do you have a BMW?
No.
Okay.
He's asking about
first things first. Trade in that Geo Metro, whatever it is you drive around town at, that BS, and go down to my buddy Aknan Avad at the Beverly Hills BMW dealership. He'll hook you up.
He was asking about a six-pack.
Okay, next call,
all right.
Thanks.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Gabrielle. Hi, Gabrielle.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hey, Spencer.
How are you?
I need you to dispense some beauty advice for me.
I'm here to help.
I live in Newport Beach, and there's a lot of competition.
Perfect.
And, you know, I'm 30 years old, and
okay.
Everybody tells me I look like I'm 25.
Well, good.
I don't think I look young enough. I need to look like 19.
You're right.
You could never look thin enough, never look young enough. And I'm just wondering, you know, if I get a laser peel, maybe I'll look younger.
Well, let me ask you some questions first. Describe yourself. Give me your dimensions, your ethnicity. Give me a general idea.
So I'm 5'7", blonde hair, blue eyes.
Oh, perfect. Okay, you're an Aryan beauty.
125.
How much?
125.
Okay. 5'7". Okay, hold on now. Just quiet down, Gabby, whatever your name is.
Gabrielle.
Okay.
5'7", 125.
5'7", 125.
That's on the thin side.
You're going to need to lose at least 11 to 14 pounds.
Perfect.
Okay. And laser surgery, not necessary for you because you are white. So you're not really looking to change any of the tone on your face. I do recommend that for people of, as we say in the business, ethnicities.
Right.
Go ahead and lighten that as much as you can.
To try and look white?
Well, yeah.
That's terrible advice.
But I have little freckles.
Remember, it's just like Teddy Roosevelt said. White is right.
He didn't say that.
And Gabrielle, I do think you need to get rid of those besmirches on your face known as freckles.
Yeah,
those are kind of cute.
Oh, Linda.
Freckles.
Lisa.
A lot of people think freckles are cute.
Yeah. A lot of people who are clearly wrong.
Okay.
What you need to do is, what size are your breasts as of right now?
Oh, no, they're perfect. They're a B cup, but they're very
No, they are not.
They're super perfect.
Oh, no, they are not.
They're all crooked.
No.
I don't want a crooked
Young lady. Like I said, if we can taper your belly a little bit, perhaps remove
no,
a couple ribs.
No, totally
and what we need to do is remove your voice box because you talk an awful lot for female. First things first, don't ever talk again.
Right.
Go to double F's in the boobs.
F's?
Yes.
She's 125.
We need to compensate for her talky,
wow.
All day, like stabbing me in the ears with pencils. You talk so goddamn much. What you need to do, never talk again. Then I want you to inject your lips with some form of industrial lubricant so that they are massive. And that way you will have a hard time talking. Then I would like you to get double F boobies and lose 11 pounds so that you're somewhere in the 111 ballpark with double F boobs. And perhaps inject some type of whoopee cushion in your ass because I like them bigger and I like tapered waist. And I also like fart sounds every once in a while. And that is the gospel of Spence. Hit it.
What's going on with you and Heidi?
I should be asking you. I don't know. I don't talk to her.
I don't even hear anything you say. It's just me.
Spencer the Beauty Dispenser! Spencer the Beauty Dispenser!
Hey! I missed that guy.
Come on!
I miss him. Don't you guys miss him?
Nope.
No. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 8:37. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. From time to time, we like to do the Ralph Video Vault. And yeah. These movies
oh,
are...
do we? Do we like to do it?
We do, yes.
We like you to do it.
Or is it a duty?
We like you to do it.
Yeah.
These movies are generally horrible.
Generally?
Like, worse than anything you've ever seen.
Unanimously
so,
awful.
So Ralph goes through them, and that's the Ralph Video Vault.
Sometimes when you're looking for bad movies, so bad that they're good, you get served up a big meatball, comes across the plate every once in a while. And you could tell from the title that Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus is going to be one of those films. Starring Deborah Gibson, probably better known as Debbie Gibson, back in her singing, songwriting, mall touring days in the 80s.
Sure.
And Lorenzo Lamas.
Yeah!
Really?
Are the stars of Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus.
Now, did this come out in the theaters? Or
it was a direct-to-DVD HBO? Release, I believe, but was also aired on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Okay.
So I know it was seen by lots of people who were sorry they saw it. But this film is your quintessential bad horror monster movie. And...
And you would recommend it highly?
It's hard to describe how bad it is, quite really? Frankly. Let me just try to demonstrate by playing you some clips. The film starts with a horribly fake helicopter scene where a military pilot, who looks like no military pilot or helicopter I've ever seen, is dropping a secret government experiment into the ocean.
Okay.
It is a low-frequency sonic boom creator
okay.
machine, and he's flying near this ice floe. And they pretty much set it up from the get-go that, you know, it's the military who's responsible for almost all these bad things that happen in monster movies.
Of course.
It's a vast wasteland, Admiral. There's no one around.
Remember, Lieutenant, this mission is classified. Should there be any trouble, the government denies existence.
That's right. If we accidentally release a mega shark or a giant octopus,
sir,
the government will deny that this happened.
This every once in a while, a movie comes along where I go, I could be in this.
You have no idea. The acting is eye-stingingly bad.
Wow.
You start just holding your ears and rubbing your eyes as you watch it. And I love it. Admiral, we're ready.
Yes, I'm 12, and you better not fark up this mission, sir.
This is top secret.
So anyway, as you can imagine, the sonic boom releases the frozen mega shark and giant octopus from the prehistoric age that have been locked in ice ever since the ice age. They get released by this sonic underwater boom.
Okay.
And they start killing stuff because that's what they do. They're giant monsters from the prehistoric era.
Sure.
And a giant whale washes up on the beach. And it looks like it's been attacked by a giant animal, but they know nothing is as big as a whale could do this. So it must be like a prop from a tanker or a boat or something has
right.
hacked this poor whale to death. But just in case, they bring in Emma McNeil, super duper oceanographer.
She hot?
Played by Deborah Gibson,
who
is not hot.
Not hot. Way.
And she examines the whale, and only she can see what everyone else is blind to.
Tears in his flesh didn't come from anything mechanical. This wound's organic.
Organic, Christ. Emma, do you know how you sound?
You name one thing in that ocean that causes damage like that.
You know I'm right, Dick. Something big out there. Something really big.
Something really big.
Is she looking out to the
ocean
yes, at that moment?
Lisa.
This is high school bad.
So Emma McNeil finds a shard of something stuck in the whale's flesh, and she can't figure it out, so she takes it to her old college professor, Professor Sanders. And she thinks, well, if anyone can help me figure out what this is, he can. And together, they come up with the answer.
A tooth?
Must have one hell of a smile.
How big?
11 by 11.
Inches? Jesus.
Feet.
Feet?
Crazy.
Who do you think it belongs to?
I don't know. You're the ex-Navy paleontologist guru.
Yeah, well, that's true enough. Well, without making too much of a Hail Mary about it, I'd say it belongs to one pretty old fella. Prehistoric.
A dinosaur? You've got to be kidding.
Yeah, say hello to Megalodon.
Say hello to Megalodon, the prehistoric shark.
He had a...
Whose teeth were 10 to 12 feet large, each of them.
Each tooth was 12 feet long.
Yes.
That's pretty
and
big.
And soon Megalodon is destroying everything he can get his hands on. In fact, as a jetliner is flying over the ocean.
Yes.
I kid you not.
Yes.
The shark jumps out of the ocean and bites the plane in half.
That's 13,000 feet?
It happens on the screen. But there are other disasters happening in the Sea of Japan.
Hey!
That's causing them problems, and it can't be Megalodon because we know he's near America.
So what could that be?
They don't know, but a Japanese scientist, Dr. Shimada, teams up with Emma and her old professor to try to figure this out, and they finally get their visual recognition of the clue of what it is, and they discover there's a second monster in the oceans.
Same as the drawing.
I suspected.
What, giant squid?
Octopus.
Together they say, octopus.
Together? They just came to both of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, two monsters in the ocean. Are we to blame? Is it our fault? Are humans to blame for this sort of behavior?
Yes.
Does this movie have a political message?
I wonder.
I think it does.
Yeah.
Amazing. Two prehistoric creatures suddenly and mysteriously unleashed upon the world.
Maybe not so mysteriously. Polar ice caps are melting because of our thoughtlessness. Maybe this is our comeuppance.
Maybe
yes.
This is our comeuppance.
This is payback
Who
for global warming.
Who uses the word comeuppance? This is our comeuppance for global warming.
No one.
Well, then Lorenzo Lamas shows up as a secret agent.
All right.
Who captures our three heroes to force them to work for the government because the government needs to hush this up.
Okay.
They need to capture these creatures. And so they put them to work in one of their secret laboratories under armed guard.
Okay.
And the three of them are forced to work together and try to figure out an answer for these two monsters. And Dr. Shimada and Emma start to fall in love while they're working together.
Of course.
Because, you know,
that happens.
Giant sharks are eating planes out of the sky, but they take some time out for romance. Wait till you hear what passes for romantic dialogue in this film.
Yeah, well, I was always drawn to the water. Always felt like a part of it.
It's not water.
Me too.
Me too.
Didn't matter how rough or stormy or how big the waves were. Never scared me.
Me too.
Me too.
Well, all right. That guy's good.
Let's have sex.
Whatever she
says. And
that's
what they do. They go into a closet in the lab and they have sex.
And the guards still have guns on them?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, not that's while during the sex part.
Ma.
But after the sex, they're smelling each other. I'm not making this up.
What?
And it dawns on them the only way they can attract these creatures is by using pheromones.
Oh, sure.
Because the attractive nature of the scent of sex will attract the monsters. And they hatch this plan to use pheromones to capture the sea creatures.
Before we order the cake and the balloons, does somebody want to tell me what the hell's going on?
The scent. The biological power of the scent.
You know, pheromones, the attractant that connects all species, it's the source of all procreation, the ultimate magnet.
Basically, we bait San Francisco and Tokyo Bays with the respective pheromones for each beast.
The shark and the octopus detect the scent and are drawn in, thinking there's a mate awaiting.
How can we be so sure that they're going to take the bait?
Those guys have been frozen in ice for millions of years. Wouldn't you be a little horny?
Wouldn't you be a little horny?
Every one of those people is the worst actor I've ever heard.
Lorenzo Lamas is awful.
Wow.
In this. Before I ordered the cake and balloons, how do we know this will work?
If you're just tuning in, we're doing Ralph's Video Vault. The name of the movie is The Giant Octopus and
Mega
Shark.
Mega Shark versus Giant
Whatever.
Octopus. Get it right.
All right.
Well, they do lure in the monsters, but they realize conventional weapons are of no use to them.
Okay.
The monsters are just too tough and too big.
Yeah.
So they have to come up with a new idea. How can they defeat these two creatures? I know. They'll pit them against each other.
Oh,
it
nice.
Is called Versus, after all.
Sure.
Okay. Say they do come together. What's going to guarantee they're going to duke it out? To the death, no less.
It's in their nature. They're natural-born enemies.
That's right. You've always seen it. You always see it all over the oceans. Anytime you go swimming, octopuses and sharks fighting in the surf.
I've never heard of that.
They're natural enemies.
Never heard of it.
So they pit them against each other. And after a interminably long battle between the giant shark and the giant octopus, right wins and all is well in the world.
Looks like they finally finished what they started 18 million years ago.
That's right. They finally finished that battle 18 million years ago.
They finally finished it. So they're both dead?
They're both dead.
They kill each other.
The octopus crushes the shark, and the shark, with his dying breath, bites the octopus.
That
and they sink slowly to the bottom of the ocean.
That is great luck.
But, you want to know what's even greater luck?
What?
Because our three heroes, they say, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. We'll never have to do anything like this again. until at the very end of the film,
they discover infrared
photos of another sea creature. And the professor brings it to Dr. Shimada and Emma, who are now deeply in love and making out on the beach. And she doesn't want any part of it, but she can't resist.
Well, I was thinking...
Oh, no, Professor. Finding those two creatures was a once-in-a-lifetime event.
Infrared, but of what?
Some sort of organic life. Preserve.
You ready?
Hell yeah. You?
Let's go.
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah! Oh, my God!
Sequel! Oh, I can't wait to see what they find preserved in the North Sea.
That might be the worst movie I've ever
Hell
heard.
Hell yeah!
That's fantastic.
Let's go!
And that's the Ralph Video
Vault. Vault.
Video should still be up at krock.com if you would like to check out AFI and their live performance from this last Tuesday. You heard me.
The rest of the performance?
It's 8:55. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
The last Kevin show. It's so sad. They're going to put him down this weekend.
It was fun, though.
Yeah.
It was fun while we
had a good run.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
I'm not good under the best of circumstances, guys.
Yeah.
I'm aware of that.
So this week would not be considered the best of circumstances?
Well, I haven't slept, and so...
Yeah, that's a drawback.
You take my abilities, and you add no sleep to it, and that's what you get.
Yeah.
Badness. Sorry.
It's all right, man. It's actually kind of entertaining for us. So don't feel too bad. David Letterman, everybody talking about his show last night where he came clean and announced to his audience that he had been dealing with an extortion plot for some time. A man identified as Robert Halderman, who works for CBS News. A producer. The guy's won Emmys.
Mm-hmm.
Is this what they mean by synergy?
I guess so.
Is that it?
Approached Letterman and demanded $2 million or else he was going to spill the beans on some backstage late show dirt. David revealed himself what the threat was all about.
Now, of course, we get to what was it? What was all the creepy stuff that he was going to put into the screenplay and the movie? And the creepy stuff was that I have had sex with women who work for me on this show. Now, my response to that is, yes, I have. I have had sex with women who work on this show. And would it be embarrassing if it were made public? Perhaps it would. Perhaps it would. Especially for the women.
Only he could make that funny.
Dave didn't buckle to the blackmail. He turned the guy over to the cops, set up a sting where he wrote the guy a phony check for $2 million, and then the cops picked him up. So Robert Halderman is currently under arrest for extortion and several other charges they'll be announcing later today. So
I'm sure he wouldn't have told that story if he didn't have to.
Of course not.
But having said that, he sure handled it well.
He did.
He just came out and said, these are the charges. I did it.
Yep.
That's amazing.
He dealt with it on the biggest possible stage he could and hopefully put it to rest. Of course, I am still waiting to see whether some of these ex-staffers will come forward now and try to make a buck off telling their story, but that remains to be seen. You hope not. You hope they would say, Dave is protecting my identity by not letting this guy break this news, so right. I will try to save him any further embarrassment by keeping my mouth shut.
Depends on how many there are.
Yeah. Well, he does say women.
If there are two,
who
maybe.
Have worked on the show.
If there
so.
Are 20,
if
probably not.
If they all find out about each other, now
he's
really
it's Bob
screwed.
Barker over at the Price is Right, banging the beauties in the back of the RVs and stuff they were giving away. It's bad
the
stuff.
The price is wrong, bitch.
Just when you think American reality TV sucks.
Yes.
Comes a saving grace from the BBC over in England. They have just announced their latest reality show called Move Like Michael Jackson.
Really?
It will feature everyday folks who think they can dance like Michael Jackson. It will be hosted by Jermaine Jackson.
Oh, come on.
Of course.
You've got to be kidding.
Jermaine needs a job.
The new talent competition show will start later this year, says the BBC.
You've got to be kidding. What a terrible idea.
Move Like Michael Jackson.
I'm in favor of fat guys and funny people dancing, trying to look like him for about 3 minutes, but that's not a show.
How many episodes of Moonwalking do you need to watch?
Oh, my God. Hosted by him.
With Jermaine going, nope. You don't move like Michael Jackson. Next.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds horrible.
And in more music news, this blows me away. The Black Eyed Peas now have the longest run at number one in this decade.
Oh, no.
I Got a Feeling has logged in its 14th week as the number one single in the Billboard Hot 100.
Yep.
That beats Mariah Carey's 13-week stay with We Belong Together back in 2005. But here it gets even worse. The Black Eyed Peas now have been at number one for 26 consecutive weeks because the 12-week run previous was Boom Boom Pow, their other single. So between that and I Got a Feeling, they've been number one, the hot singles list from Billboard, for 26 weeks.
Wow.
Half a year, folks.
And before that...
My stump, my stump, my stump. My lovely little stump. Amputee.
My stumps. That's right. That's when they did the song My Stumps.
That's a big hit for them.
And Kevin Federline...
Yeah.
Fat.
Is fat and getting fatter. At least monetarily. He is poised to make, according to MSNBC, $100,000 per episode when he starts Celebrity Fit Club.
Oh,
really?
That's what they're paying him to be on. Well, that's what they're paying him.
Wow.
You've got a weight problem, and you know it.
$100,000 an episode.
That ain't too shabby.
That buys a lot of food.
I know, but he can't eat it. He's got to lose the weight.
Oh, right.
What's he going to do with all that food? What's he going to do with all that junk? All that junk inside his trunk. Anyway, that's from MSNBC, so... Glad to see that K-Fed's getting paid that kind of coin. Well, he's an entertainer. He deserves it.
He is. He deserves it.
It's one of the great talents of our generation.
That's right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Efren Ramirez from Napoleon Dynamite played Pedro in that very funny movie. He is 36. Tiffany from the 80s. She should do the next sequel to Giant Shark Super Octopus.
Yes, she should.
She should put her in there with Debbie Gibson. Have a pop-off. She'll be 38 years old today. Kelly Ripa from Live with Regis and Kelly and All My Children. She is 39. Lorraine Bracco from The Sopranos turns 55. Sting is 58 years old. And all morning long, we've been celebrating singer Don McLean and his legendary smash hit, American Pie, which runs about 9 to 11 minutes.
Way too long, that song.
And so I haven't had a chance to finish it, but I would like to now finish the entire version of American Pie to celebrate his 64th birthday. Thanks so much for indulging me. Aloha. You know, the phones have been ringing off the hook, Kevin. People who are asking to hear the entire version.
That's great. Lines.
Pick up the phone and sing it to
American
them.
Pie. And I think you are...
Pick up the phone.
You are cheating our audience...
And sing it to
...out
them.
Of what they really want by not letting me sing American Pie.
That's a risk I'm willing...
Hockey season's upon us. It kicked off last night. The Ducks have their opener Saturday, the 3rd, versus the Sharks. Very excited to welcome our buddy, J.S. Shiger.
Yeah!
Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you?
Hello.
Good morning.
How does it feel at the very beginning of what is going to be, you know, it's a pretty long season for you guys as you start getting bumps and bruises early, and then you have to play for, you know, the whole season that way?
Yeah, you know, we're very excited to start the season again. Training camp is... You know, only 3 weeks long, but it seems like it's the longest three weeks of the year. So we're just excited to get going. I think we have an exciting team, so it should be a lot of fun.
What do you do in the off season with most of your time? I mean, you have to keep working out a certain amount, right?
Yes. Well, this summer I was fairly busy. I just had a newborn baby, so taking care of that and going to the gym every day. It's just kind of the summer flew by, really.
And by taking care of it, you mean having your wife take care of it and then you taking credit?
Exactly.
Yes, okay. I'm just checking.
No, I'm sure Jiggy puts on the pads and skates around the rink with the kid to quiet him down when he's awake at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I get up every night.
Oh, that's rough. And by the way, it doesn't always go like you planned. I was talking to Luke Robitaille, and one of his kids have no interest in hockey.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it's weird sometimes.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, they're almost, they don't want to follow their dad's stuff.
So. Hey, wait, dad plays hockey. What about you?
Not a rebel.
Not so much. Not into it. What does the season look like for you? Where do you think you'll end up? Who's going to be your toughest competition?
You know, I think tomorrow night we're playing the Sharks for a season opening, and I think they're going to be our biggest competition in our division. You know, every year they put up a good team, and last year... we had a great battle against them in the playoffs. So, you know, tomorrow night should be an exciting game just for that. You know, I'm sure they want to beat us pretty bad, but, you know, we'll be ready for them.
There are a lot more fights early in the season, aren't there?
Yeah, there are definitely, you know, especially the first few games. You know, guys are just so excited. You get all that energy, and you don't know where to spend it, so it always ends up in fights.
By the time you get to the playoffs, it's too important. You can't get in a fight.
And they're exhausted.
Yeah, they're tired and they're hurt. But at the beginning of the season, man, there's plenty of throwing the gloves down.
Yeah, exactly. If you enjoy the fights, you know, come on down. I think, there should be plenty.
Jiggy, you mentioned that the preseason, the training camp is short for you guys before you get into the actual season. When you have new players joining the team and the chemistry has yet to be found, how long does it take before a team starts to really gel?
You know, it's different with every team. You see more and more now teams go in like a retreat before the season starts. They go, you know, off for 3-4 days in a city where, you know, they're just going to, you know, go to a restaurant, have dinners, and
build some practice. Chemistry.
Yeah, build the chemistry.
Go to a spa, get a peel.
Exactly.
That kind of stuff.
But, you know, and that might help. But, I mean, the chemistry, I think, you know, we're playing our first game at home, then we're going to go on the road for a week. So we're going to do a lot of team building chemistry on the road. So it should be good.
It seems like it would be easier on the road because you all have to be someplace.
Well, you don't have to be home with your wife and the kids and stuff like that. So, you know, everybody is just in the same boat. You know,
you guys travel by boat?
No, exactly.
That's weird.
The boat across, you know, and no, so, you know, we're all going to go to dinner. You know, everybody has to go eat dinner. So sure. Might as well do a team event when we do that.
Who's your roommate on the road, Jiggy?
You know, when you get to be an old fart like me, you get your own room.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. Nothing beats that.
Nobody.
That is a good reason to be a veteran in the NHL.
Exactly.
I like it. Who's bunking with you? Just me. That's it.
Yeah.
Just
that's
me.
That's exactly.
So you guys play tomorrow, and then you play next Tuesday and Thursday away. You play Minnesota and Boston.
Yes. We're going back east. I think we finish in Philadelphia and New York. So it should be a pretty good trip.
Boy, I got to tell you, it's been a long off season. It always seems like forever for those of us that are hockey fans.
Yeah, that's right.
And then when hockey goes away and some of our teams go away sooner than others, and you're there waiting and waiting and waiting. There's just baseball, but now hockey's back.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic.
Chris Pronger with Philadelphia, by the way, this year. That's
going
to be interesting.
Yeah, Chris Pronger, that's a big loss for our team. You know, yeah, obviously, he's got such a big presence, you know, whatever team he's in, but... you know, I think we got a good trade out of it. We just got a lot of young guys, so we're just going to have to be patient with them and hope for the best.
Well, it's got to be awkward to take on your old teammates, especially the first game after that trade has been made, because there's got to be conflicted feelings there, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, well, in the same business, we know that on the ice there's no friends, really.
Right,
you know,
right.
Just go about your business and try to win the game, but... I mean, you get to, you know, the longer you play in this league, you get to know so many players in the other team. You know, after the game, you could go have a beer with them any day and it wouldn't be a problem. But when you're on the ice, everybody takes care of business.
When you're in the goal, one thing that I like about the hockey fans is that they're pretty vocal. And when you're in the goal and a goal gets scored against you as a goalie, a lot of times, if you're in an opposing arena, people start chanting your name.
Yes.
Just to rub it in. How does that get to you? Are you able to block it out?
Well, you know, it doesn't really get to you. I mean, because
18,000 people chanting your name is and they're mocking you. I mean, I'm sure it happens at the Honda Center for the opposing team as well. You know?
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, and it's part of the business. I personally like to play on the road because you almost have that against you. You know, so it makes it even more exciting. What really is not fun is when they do that at home. For then you know you're having a long night.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, when the Duck fans start booing you, you know you're in for a long night.
Yeah, that's rough. I didn't even think about that. All right. Well, J.S. Jaguar, it's great to always check in with you at the beginning of the season. We hope to talk to you partway through as well.
All right.
The Duck season starts at the Honda Center tomorrow night, Saturday night, against the Sharks, and then next week they're on the road. J.S. Jaguar, always great to have you on the show.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you,
guys.
Bye now.
Because my dreams are bursting
at the seams. Rock and roll!
Woo! Fireflies!
Cat is up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, including Phoenix and Silver Sun Pickups and Anne Berlin and a bunch more. But first, it is 9:40. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time for the final Ralph Showbiz Beat.
More details emerging about the David Letterman scandal. Last night, during a taping of The Late Show with David Letterman, Dave came clean with his audience about the fact that he had been going through an extortion plot from a guy who told him, give me $2 million or I'm going to break the news that you had sexual relations with a female member of your staff. Apparently multiple female members. Letterman said he was approached by the guy by an anonymous package that held some evidence regarding at least one affair he had had with a female staffer. And that he demanded the money. Letterman went to the DA's office in New York State. They set up a sting operation where the guy met with Dave to get a $2 million check. And then the hammer was dropped and the cops picked this asshole up. Here is Dave Letterman explaining exactly what the secrets were that would have been leaked if this guy didn't get his $2 million.
Now, of course, we get to what was it? What was all the creepy stuff that he was going to put into the screenplay and the movie? And the creepy stuff was that I have had sex with women who work for me on this show. Now, my response to that is, yes, I have. I have had sex with women who work on this show. And would it be embarrassing if it were made public? Perhaps it would. Perhaps it would. Especially for the women.
Why did he
handle pretty well?
Why did he have to tell if the guy was already in custody and hadn't turned over the information yet? Why did he have to come out with it?
Well, the news of the extortion charges and the victim of the extortion plot would have been made public upon his arrest. As the court
But would
case
the details
started.
Have?
Well, no, but then...
But that
then,
stuff leaks out and then there's rumors.
Even if it doesn't, for the rest of his life, journalists will be asking what was going on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What were the secrets that he was threatening to expose if you didn't pay him? He would constantly be plagued by those questions.
That makes sense.
Letterman, I guess, felt it was best to face it head on and just deal with it, come clean, expose it himself, and hopefully have that news dissipate. The guy who did it, Robert Halderman, was a former producer for the CBS News, 48 Hours, their news magazine show. 51-year-old Emmy Award-winning producer.
Wow.
Now, here are the details that are coming out. At least one of the women we know of is a woman named Stephanie Burkett who worked on the show. She reportedly had an affair with Letterman before the birth of his son, Harry. So this is more than 6 years ago.
Okay.
And this is before he got married to his longtime girlfriend, Regina Lasko. They've been dating about 23 years.
So all of this happened while they were dating.
Exactly. Okay. They were together but not married, right. At least in this particular case. Robert Halderman, the suspect, is the ex-boyfriend of this girl.
Ah.
So this guy apparently is cheesed off that she dumps him.
Oh, I see.
Has an affair with Letterman, so it's a revenge plus greed.
Gotcha.
In this equation.
At that point, don't you just go, I lose. That's
and what
the way
a loser
life goes.
You are if you're trying to lash back with blackmail. I can think of few crimes more heinous than trying to extort money out of someone by holding something in their private life over their heads.
Yeah.
It's really disgusting. Anyway, so we know a little bit more about the case, and I don't think Letterman will be addressing this any more than he did last night. I don't know how he could. He came pretty much as clean as you can regarding this topic, but he added at the end pretty much why he was motivated to talk about it and whether he'll speak about it again.
It's been a very bizarre experience. I feel like I need to protect these people. I need to certainly protect my family. I need to protect myself, hope to protect my job, and the friends, everybody that has been very supportive through this. And I don't plan to say much more about this on this particular topic. So thank you for letting me bend your ears.
He talked for about 10 minutes about it last night and was
how about that?
Pretty entertaining while doing it.
Yeah.
I'm impressed by his ability to tell a story as if it's a humorous anecdote and also be going through that at the same time.
So. Yeah, it seems not good.
If you'd like to be on television, and who wouldn't, just judging from that experience, sounds like fame is really the way to go.
It really is.
Tool Academy
yeah,
is looking for a new class. Or lack thereof, I guess, when it comes to Tool Academy.
Sure.
If you have no class, you could be on this show. You probably have seen the show on VH1. It's the egocentric, the narcissistic, the men and women who are the worst partners in the world to their significant others. You send them to Tool Academy, and they turn them into decent, straight-up, God-fearing people.
Well, they can do
that's
that?
The attempt. That's what they try to do.
It's a relationship boot camp, basically. If you're interested in going on the show, or you've got a loser that you're dating you'd like to nominate for this show, you can go to toolacademycasting.com. Casting directors will set up auditions with interested parties all over the country in Dallas, Charlotte, Philadelphia, Orlando, Las Vegas, L.A., Atlanta, and New York. They'll be having auditions, so there probably will be one near you if you're so inclined. It's going on between now and October 23rd is when they're taking applications. So there's some information if you want to be on the Tool Academy.
If you have somebody that you're going to nominate, maybe just go ahead and break up with them.
Yeah, don't bother with the Tool Academy.
I mean, really.
Jessica Alba. Had it rough as a teenager.
Sure.
Sure now, she's one of Hollywood's hottest sex symbols, but things weren't always so easy, people.
Was she awkward?
She was awkward.
Was she not in high school?
Really?
And she had a miserable high school experience because of bullying.
Yeah.
She was quite awkward and ugly in high school.
She should try awkward and ugly for a lifetime.
She was on TV when she was in high school, and no, she wasn't.
Well,
was she on TV?
She was on the original Flipper television show. I don't know if you guys remember. They did a remake of the old school show Flipper.
About the super trained dolphin, right?
Right.
Yeah. But before that, she was awkward.
Before that, she was awkward.
I'm going to say no.
She says things were so bad her dad had to walk her to school so she wouldn't get attacked.
Oh, come on.
And that she used to eat lunch in the nurse's office rather than in the lunchroom to face the other girls.
Because she was too hot. That's what it was.
She was awkward. She was quite awkward during her high school years, she claims.
Yeah. Don't buy it.
I feel bad. I feel bad for her. Oh, wait a minute. No, she's super hot and rich now. Mm-hmm. I don't feel so bad.
We're still awkward.
Yeah.
Who wins?
If I suddenly got really good looking and rich, as awkward as I was in high school, I could get over it.
Right.
It would have those wounds. It would be like a soothing balm or unguent.
I don't know
to my
word.
Ruptured psyche.
I'm not understanding what you're saying now. I have no idea what you're saying. Never heard that word.
Speaking of Madonna.
Not once.
No, we weren't. We're speaking of David Letterman. She was on Madonna this week. Nope. We'll try it again. We were speaking of David Letterman, and Madonna was on his show this week.
Okay.
That's how it happened.
All right.
And Dave couldn't help but bring up the rumor that she was going to get married to her boy toy, Jesus Luis.
She likes the Latino dudes.
She does. He's 22 years old. She's 11. And she said those rumors are not true. In her words, I'd rather get run over by a train than to say another round of I do's.
So she's leaving the option open?
Apparently, yes.
Or not.
She is not looking to get married, so it's all good. And do not invite Nick Cannon and Eminem to the same party. Apparently, Nick is still holding a grudge over the lyrics in Eminem's song Bagpipes from Baghdad.
Yeah.
There are a few shots at Mariah Carey and Nick in that song.
Right.
Eminem himself has admitted the pot shots were a little harsh, and he said he can understand Nick's reactions, but Nick will not let it go. He said those lyrics will have repercussions in an interview in Touch magazine. Nick says Eminem is lucky he has not run into him yet, but when they do, they're going to have a serious sit-down. That doesn't sound very threatening.
It doesn't, really.
No.
You
sit. Sounds like coffee
and
at
I'm
going to
sit, and we'll drink coffee, and then...
Then, boy, we're going to sit down.
We're going to talk
then
it
we're
out.
We're going to stand up at the end.
Does he know he's Nick Cannon?
I think so.
All right.
Having seen America's Got Talent, the worst thing he could do to Eminem is host in front of him. That'd be the most punishing thing you could do to someone, is to host. I'm going to host all over you. Well, I'm going to read some cue cards now. Well, watch out.
He's not great, if that's what you're saying.
Wow, is he blowing that?
Yeah.
Now he's going to come after me because I said he was bad on America's Got Talent.
He's going to sit
down
with
you.
We're going to have a sit down. And the BBC has announced the launch of their newest reality talent show contest. It'll be debuting later this year in the UK. It's called Move Like Michael Jackson. It will feature folks who think they can move like Michael Jackson.
He's not moving at all.
As of right now, I could move like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, exactly.
Just lay down in a gold casket. Do I win?
Cross the line.
Do I win? It's going to be a 6-part series that will air on BBC Three towards the end of this year, hosted by Jermaine Jackson.
That's just not good.
Glad to see the Jackson family once again is showing nothing but class when it comes to making cash off
their
deceased brother.
Got to cash in somehow.
Yeah, it's sick. Shouldn't Jermaine Jackson be screaming from the rooftops how out of line and inappropriate this game show is instead of hosting it?
Yeah, if he wasn't a part of one of the most effed up families in history.
The only way to make this worse? Have Nick Cannon host it.
That's true.
That would be even worse.
That's true.
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Efren Ramirez.
I hope you don't run into Nick Cannon now.
I know.
It's going to go poorly.
It would be repercussions.
That's right.
For what I said. Efren Ramirez is 36 years old today. He was Pedro in Napoleon Dynamite. Vote for Pedro. Tiffany is 38 years old. She was a hugely popular singer in the 80s.
Yes, she was.
She used to do what they called the mall tours. I don't know if they even do mall tours anymore, do they?
I don't think so.
It was just her.
But no, Debbie Gibson did them too.
Okay.
I think New Kids maybe did. There was a while there in the 80s where if you wanted to make it with a certain segment of the population, I guess 12 to 16-year-olds, you would do a mall tour. You'd go to malls all over America, and you set up a little stage, and you'd perform your hit single.
Melfon.
That's how we're going to break. We're going to go to malls all over America. She's 38 years old. Kelly Ripa, actress and talk show host. She is 39. Lorraine Bracco, Dr. Melfi, the psychiatrist on The Sopranos, to Tony Soprano. She is 55 years old today. Sting celebrates his 58th birthday today. And singer Don McLean is 64. I'm glad we have a little extra time because all morning long I've been trying to do my tribute to Don McLean on his 64th birthday.
Don't have time.
Singing the complete version of American Pie, which is one of the great American pop songs of all time. So if you just indulge me for the next 11 minutes, I'd like to sing for you American Pie.
Song for you. How about this one?
That is unacceptable.
How about this one?
Don McLean never sang Don't Bogart That Joint.
How about this? Olivia Munn, Kevin Nealon, and more on Monday's show. See you then.
Don't Bogart That Joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is delicious.
Don't Bogart That Joint, my friend. Pass it over. Roll another one, just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
I wish you wouldn't smoke weed.
And I need another hit.
Aren't you high?
I don't have another cent.
Do you have any marijuana I'm able to buy from you?
Clearly, he's high.
Just pass it around.
There now. Ain't you glad you stayed?
Isn't it over, Sam?
Is what over?
It's over. Don't you think it's over? You're fired.
Sometimes I lie awake at night and I ask, when will it all end? Then a voice comes to me that says, right after the credits.
This is not the way that we wanted this conversation to go, so I want to ask you to leave.
Step out, please. We're done. We're finished. Do I need to have somebody come physically remove you? Stand up and leave, please. Thank you.